This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation 2015 continues. And are we rankled? Are we not rankled? Are we smiling? Are we not smiling? That's what tonight's show is all about. Welcome to episode 26 of your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. Knowing that the show was coming up this Wednesday, and of course we're recording this evening, we all knew what we were going to talk about and what the topics were going to be. It was just a question of what the tone of the topics was going to be. And it seems somewhat obvious what we'll discuss tonight. But I think we're going to have a fun evening because it's not going to be as cantankerous as it may seem. But let's move on to bringing in the Core Four. They are in full force tonight. The conscience of Place to Be Nation and the conscience of the Main Event, wearing his blue 14 t-shirt, Mr. Steve Willey.
With a tear in my eye, because I'm back with you guys, not because of Mr. Ernie Banks. I'm happy to be here. It feels like it's been forever.
That's right.
Been on with.
Yeah, you missed our. Yeah, you had to. You missed the year in review, but that's okay. You can give us a quick 2014 Chikara if you'd like.
Well, see, if I was on, I would be still waiting to speak right now. There's a lot of egos in the room. A lot of wonderful egos in the room.
Right.
But egos nonetheless.
Well, here's one of them. Because we go from one of the most likable people at Place to Be Nation to, and he'll tell you this proudly, one of the most unlikable people at Place to Be Nation, Mr. Jordan Duncan.
It's pronounced Andrew Reich, actually.
You thought I was going to say that, didn't you? You son
with
of
a tear
bitch.
In my eye.
Tremendous. JD, always a pleasure. Boogie of the Bayou. Guess what? There's 58.4 seconds left in the Joyce and Notre Dame with a 3-point lead on the Dukies. Mr. Andrew Reich.
Somebody needs to call up Hillary Swank and Aaron Eckhart because the Core is back.
Yeah.
The band back together.
The Core. We need those cool. Well, Justin Gabriel doesn't need a shirt anymore because he's unemployed, so we can borrow his Core shirt.
You mean Darewolf? Get him on the main event. DJ Black?
The Darewolf.
Steve Gatorwolf.
Is that Tyler's cousin, PJ?
Darewolf.
Wasn't Steve Gatorwolf? He was a jobber in like 1986 or something. Two free throws here. We'll do a little updates on this. It's 73-72 Notre Dame with 58 seconds to go.
Wasn't there like a helicopter TV show called Airwolf?
Yes, of course. The great Jan Michael Vincent.
Also, to toss one in, Kyrie Irving has 50 points.
Dang.
No, he doesn't.
Against
does he really?
Who?
Yes, he does. LeBron's out with a wrist injury.
Yeah, you know who he didn't have 50 against? Mercer. So, finally, oh, Reich, pleasure as always. And finally, of course, my favorite person on the planet, and he is not only a Place to Be Nation contributor, but the purveyor of Marvel.com, and sent me a really nice gift because he's a great guy, Mr. Ben Morrison.
My pleasure, Scott, but I would also like in my honorifics to now be introduced as basketball expert.
Wow. Really?
Yes,
well, we know you were a guest on with Mr. Reich on his great NBA podcast, which you can check out here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Record-setting ratings, from what I understand.
It is. I don't know. You know, Reich, I don't know if he can hang with you and my brother in one show, though.
Oh,
you know,
I
though, Ben,
cannot.
you can always replace – I mean, Rotel is easily replaceable on the March Madness show because he'll probably snort and guzzle Robitussin anyway. So
this could be trouble.
A Royal Caribbean cruise. Leave the silverback alone.
Happy birthday.
I love the NBA team with Blake and Ben. It was fun.
So definitely check it out on placemenation.com. Ben, always a pleasure, man. All right. Notre Dame up four here, Mr. Reich. Now they're of course the referees. The referees are looking at something. What does that mean? That means they're going
to
put
the
on
the Lions
their...
are about to get screwed.
That's right. Means Mike's your shit. Looks like these guys live in Cameron. What are they
testing? Oh, they're just thinking the shot clock had expired. Oh, okay. He's fine.
Okay. All right, guys. We all know what we're here for. This past weekend, of course, Place to Be Nation was in full force in the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia. Not only for what happened on Sunday, which we will most definitely talk about, but what happened Saturday night at the old ECW Arena, which if you guys obviously saw my Facebook page, I was I wouldn't say I was in awe because it's, you know, it's a fucking warehouse, but definitely better shape than – oh, this game's over. That was a block shot. If he dunks this, it's over. Oh, he blew the layup, but I think he was fouled though. It's obviously been redone. It's now called the 2300 Arena. And it's not called the ECW Arena anymore. But when I went to the bathroom, there was a beautiful mural on the wall saying 1992 to 2001, and then ECW wrapped in barbed wire with blood.
And then Francine's phone
and
number.
And urine.
And yeah, Francine's phone number. And urine. Francine's phone number in urine.
Yeah.
It was an awesome, blood. Of course.
What's and New that? Jack's insulin syringes.
Yes, right. And Mass Transit's blood puddle. I'm talking, of course, about Saturday night. We went to the Ring of Honor TV taping. There were three shows. So the next 3 weeks, you will see those shows. Our seats were awesome. We were right near the entrance. Of course, they're obviously talking about it over at down the hall on the Kevin Kelly show. It was a long night, and we had some real D-bags next to us by the end of the night, which were really aggravatingly annoying. But I don't know if you guys heard. Besides from us, it was a good three. Everybody got their, you know, got their airtime. The third hour, the one that'll air in 3 weeks, the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion Jay Briscoe went to the broadcast table with Kevin, and he used to have a show on this website. What's his name again? The Damn Again? No.
The Damn Again Fun Happy Hour.
Yeah, whatever that guy's name is. Anyway, he was doing color. And now there's like 1,000 number one contenders. Chompy, the Sicilian psychopath, right? Is it Chompy? Is that pronounced correctly?
Chompy's that big black thing from the Mario game.
No, that's Moose. Oh, I like Chompy better.
Champa, Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa. Thank you. I like Chompy.
Now
better.
A Wisconsinite.
I like Chompy better.
Are you talking about that robot Chappie, that new movie?
I like Chompy better. Anyway, Jay Briscoe. Who else did? Hanson with his weird little leather singlet thing, whatever the fuck that is. He was very impressive in a squash. At the end of the night of the third hour had maybe the greatest live match I think I've ever seen in my life. On one side of the ring was ACH, Cedric Alexander, and Matt Sydal, who everyone knows, obviously, is the artist formerly known as Evan Bourne. And on the other side, three members of the unbelievably awesome Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, and AJ Styles. Ooh. I've been going to wrestling shows since 1986, and you'd be hard-pressed for me to find a better live wrestling match than I watched that night. That six-man tag was filthy. Filthy. I mean, there were moves. They were knocking the snot out of each other. In fact, one move where we were sitting was on the other side of the ring, and we thought somebody got fucked up. I don't know if it was AJ or might have been AC. Somebody got wrecked. But, oh my God, what an amazing match. So I'm just saying, look forward to 3 weeks from, I don't know when they post it, Mondays? When the Ring of Honor weekly show comes up in 3 weeks. Because, oh my God, this match was unreal.
We know four of those six guys, but what about ACH and Alexander? How were they?
They were great. ACH, he's very, they're both very, they both have different personalities. Cedric Alexander's very stoic. You know, he's very calm. ACH is kind of the jumpy, crazy one, but both very, very athletic. And they had some nice moves. Seidel got the hell kicked out of him. He was in probably most of the match for their side.
Funny, because when I was at Final Battle, ACH and Cedric were in another six-man, again with the Young Bucks, but ACH was with them. So they just kind of, they had four of the same six guys, and they just subbed out Daniels and Kazarian for AJ and Seidel, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen live. Mm-hmm. So definitely those four guys can go for sure, and then you add in the others, like, no question.
I feel like And I've watched, I think I've watched a decent amount of AJ Styles matches. I have a bunch on the Jeff Jarrett DVD going back to 2003 when he was in that weird faction with Russo. What is it? Sext Entertainment or whatever the heck the
SDX,
name of that.
SDX, yeah.
SDX, whatever that
Sports Entertainment Extreme.
Yeah. And those matches were good. But I feel like, and for those that have watched a lot of AJ, I'll go around the horn. Ben, I'll start with you. Do you feel like he's matured as a wrestler? Like, he doesn't wrestle the same anymore? Like, I feel like he's matured and wrestles very differently than, say, even 2010 or 2011. Have you noticed that?
I definitely have. Actually, I mean, this is kind of going back a ways, but 2010, I've had the good fortune of meeting AJ a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And picking his brain. He's actually, like, just a really cool guy to talk to. Just has, like, very... very candid. Like, we'll talk to you very openly about stuff. And this was back in 2010 when Hogan had just come in, and he had just had that great TV match with Angle, mm-hmm. On like the first Impact of the pseudo Monday Night Wars.
Right.
And I was talking to him about it. I was like, oh man, that match was so great. And he said something. He's like, yeah, he's like, it was, he's like, I was almost upset. Cause I think he did like a springboard 450. He did like two of them. And he was upset with himself because he was talking, and this is 5 years ago, saying how he really wanted to get away from doing that because he's not that guy anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not the spot guy anymore, and he doesn't want to be. And he was trying to kind of condition fans to understand that he wasn't. And it definitely made sense to me. Basically, what you're saying, Scott, like he was saying, is like he wanted to mature
right.
as a wrestler. And I think part of the being in TNA thing was, you know, they always expected, they want to see that high-flying, crazy X-Division AJ Styles. I think leaving TNA and being able to go to New Japan and ROH, where they appreciate different types of wrestling a little more and don't have him pinned as one specific kind of wrestler, I think in the last year, he's probably matured like 5 years worth, just mm-hmm. in terms of being able to work a more complete match and not right. just go spot, 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 spot. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, he definitely... I feel like dictated the tempo and kind of helped the Young Bucks fill the holes of their mm-hmm. of their game. I mean, those guys are super kick, you know, the super kick club, they kind of call themselves. Learning more about some of these ROH guys, because I've been kind of out of the loop. JD, have you watched a lot of AJ Styles? What do you think? Do you think he's matured as a wrestler over his time in TNA to now?
I feel like I'm not qualified to give that answer because I don't think I have seen enough. But yeah, kind of like what Ben said, I think you even started to see it in TNA though. Mm-hmm. When he came back as, you know, AJ Styles the Rebel, just that he added that submission hold as his finisher, you know, just to really get on the ground a lot more. And I think some of it's just, you know, just with age, but you know, he became an established guy in TNA, and I think he felt like, not that he didn't need to do that stuff anymore, but in a way, yeah, you don't have to, you know, because you know he's an established guy. He doesn't have to steal the show every night. He is the show at TNA. So I think it's kind of cool that he didn't revert back to that by going to Ring of Honor and New Japan and kind of having to remake a name for himself. Mm-hmm. But to answer the question, I don't think I've seen enough to really give a qualified yes or no. I've only seen a handful of stuff since he's left.
Okay. What do you think, Willie?
I think that he did start changing his style around during the last year in TNA. And the problem was that they kept him off the road. They kept him off the show for so long doing the silly little skits that we didn't get to mm-hmm. see it much. And then he'd come back, he'd be healed, and all of a sudden he'd be face, and he didn't really get his chance to establish what he was looking to do. So when he was working as a heel in TNA, that part of his personality, that part of his style came out because it made sense to get away from the high-flying spots at that point. So it made it more of a natural transition. As opposed to, gosh, that's 5 years ago already from what the match of Ben was talking about, the AJ angle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, in a match like that, you kind of would expect it. Yeah, I have watched a fair amount of him in the last year just through ROH shows and the couple Japan matches I've seen him in. And it's, you know, he doesn't do, and ironically, you're talking about him going against ACH, who does some of almost the exact same spots that AJ used to do. Mm-hmm. He'll do the Fosbury flop, he'll do some of the springboard 450s and stuff like that. But he's more of a ground technician and a hard hitter. He had a great match with Kyle O'Reilly this past year at ROH and at the Milwaukee show I saw him at.
Right. Okay. What about you, Rish? Have you watched enough AJ Styles, right? Do you think he's matured?
to be honest, I'm kind of in the same boat as Jordan in that I haven't really seen any of them at Ring of Honor. I'm going to try to get more into Ring of Honor this year as the day, as the, you know, the months and the weeks go along. But I did notice a difference in his last stretch at TNA when he was doing the lone wolf thing and he grew out his beard and he had the leather jacket and all that stuff. And the one thing that Jordan had said that I agree with is that AJ, as he had his whole career arc in TNA, was like being the underdog. The guy had to do all the flashy moves in order to like grab the attention of the fans. And it feels like, it felt like at the end of his TNA run that he was the big dog now. He didn't have, he was the established guy, like Jordan said. He didn't have to do that all the time. So he was able to dictate the pace of the matches. And when I saw the one Japanese match I saw of him when he lost the title to, I think it was Tanahashi, when he was with the Bullet Club, I could tell that AJ had matured in terms of leading a match, because I don't think he was I don't think he had too much responsibility in terms of leading a match like he did at TNA. Mm-hmm. But I definitely saw that the last time I saw him wrestle a match. But I haven't seen much of him.
I definitely noticed since when I was doing writing TNA in, oh God, whatever it was, 2013
probably.
Yeah, it was 2013. Yeah. He definitely looked and felt different. And I can tell Saturday night that he was such a ring general, and it was him and Seidel's, chemistry is very good too. So I hope we see more of the two of them.
They go Seidel's way chemistry back in the ROH days with Generation Next.
Yeah.
Seidel's chemistry is pretty messed up, but
well, that too. Yeah. when he's alone,
his podcast with Colt Cabana, that was a must listen. If you're gonna listen to any non-Place to Be Nation podcast, making the match Seidel with Colt Cabana.
So their next big show, I mean, they're this weekend, and we're not gonna go over. I mean, obviously, that's what Kevin's doing down the hall, but their next big pay-per-view is Sunday, March 1st. Their 13th anniversary show from the Orleans Hotel and Casino. And obviously, there's a high-stakes, four-corner ROH World Championship match. Jay Briscoe will defend the title against Unbreakable Michael Elgin, who had what a war with Moose. Oh, man, they were killing each other. What a match. That was a great power match. Moose is, you guys know who Moose is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's a former, I guess he played for the Patriots or something.
He played for a few teams.
Yeah, but him and Elgin just were knocking the shit out of each other. Great match. Him, Elgin, the Sicilian psychopath, Chumpy, Chumpy the Doberman. No, Thomas Ochampa.
Forrest Chump.
Chunk. Rocky Road. and Warbeard Hansen, who I think is awesome. I kind of like Hansen. And I guess now there's going to be a television championship match. Jay Lethal will defend against Alberto El Padron.
How long has Jay Lethal had that belt?
He is the longest holder of it.
Let me see.
Just past the beginning of the year.
Noticed that he had been holding. He won it a long time ago.
He won it WrestleMania weekend last year, so coming up on a year.
Yeah, let's see. He won it. I'm on ROH's website right now. Usually they have an awesome. Let's see.
So
yep,
Alberto.
He beat Chumpy the Doberman. I'm gonna make everybody start calling him Chumpy now. No, he beat Ciampa at the WrestleMania weekend that Friday night.
So yeah. Alberto's got his hands in some of the Ring of Honor stuff coming up and Lucha Underground.
Guess so.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Of course. By the way, and I know this is a whole belt thing, but of the three belts. The WWE World Heavyweight Championship, TNA's belt, and ROH's belt. I think Ring of Honor's belt's the coolest. I think I like their world title belt. Yeah, it's got the leaves on it. It's very like Roman or Greek. I like it a lot. I think it's better.
I think the TNA one's underrated.
I used to like the old TNA
like a
one.
UFC belt.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. I just think the blue on it makes it look cheap. But I don't know. I like the size of it. But it's a good front plate. And I kind of like that. Although I got to tell you though, when I was at one of the stands at the Wells Fargo Center on Sunday night, I'm looking and I look at the belt. They were selling it obviously for, I think it was like $4.25. And I'm like, this belt's really tiny. Or does Brock just make it look small? I don't know. It just looks like a tiny belt. Anyway, I think the Ring of Honor belt's really cool. So Briscoe's had it since September 6th in Toronto. And obviously Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, they have had it since May 17th when they beat the Young Bucks.
Yep. I saw that match live.
Yeah, that's right. You did see that match live. So there's your champions. So I'm sure there's going to – and I think the Young Bucks are facing the Red Dragon, because I think that was the first hour of the three-show taping. They did an interview segment with them, and they brawled. So,
Young Bucks are Dragon alone is reason to watch that show.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
The anniversary show.
I agree. I think that show's going to be pretty awesome. That might be one I might buy on pay-per-view. I might have to check that out.
We can live blog it together.
Yeah, let's do it. March 1st. Is that a Sunday? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a traditional spot.
Okay, good. Well, I might have to do that. Maybe we'll do a live blog that night, because I think I'm going to get it. Otherwise, a great show. And shirts were a little, I'm not going to lie, shirts were a little expensive. Because I was going to get I'll have to talk to Kevin. Because I was going to get I was going to get a Bullet Club shirt, because Justin and I already got them. I got them through Pro Wrestling Tees. They were supposed to come before the weekend and didn't, but I do have a Bullet Club shirt. But what shirt was I going to get? I was going to get like a regular ROH, like they're not generic, but like the company shirt. It's like $25 or $30 or something.
Yeah.
It's a little much for an ROH shirt. A little much. Speaking of, but I tell you though, I feel that WWE really rips you off on the merch. I was walking, again, I went to the same stand that I got the belt at, or saw the belt. T-shirts are $30.
Oh my gosh.
And if you want a 2XL, because sometimes they shrink. So I usually get one size up, and it's $35.
And I'll tell you this too: having kids and taking kids to the shows, the kids' apparel is just the same price.
I know. I just buy it on the website. Fuck it, you know. So anyway, I think WWE merchandise people are I think that whole situation sucks dick.
I can't say much, because at WrestleMania 30, by the time we got to the Superdome, half the merchandise was already gone, and the guy who stole all the money from the vendors was already out on a plane.
Oh my god!
Great. Remember that story with all the stolen merchandising sales?
Andrew, at WrestleMania 30? Was it Darewolf PJ Black?
Darewolf.
He was flying the helicopter, and Graham was in it.
I dare you.
So yeah, the merchandise situation WWE was not among the other problems. Yeah. Is just, I mean, they're just so overpriced. Today they have a deal, 40% off the gym stuff. So if you want to buy those hideous looking John Cena workout shirts, they're like freaking $12.
I want one of those.
The humorous thing about those gym shirts is that they're not actually gym shirts; they're just regular T-shirts.
Yeah, they're just regular T-shirts. Yeah. Anyway.
Can I get his bright ass green shirt?
No.
That's how they describe it on the website.
What? Yes, yeah. bright ass green shirt. Yes. Speaking of, guys, the baseball movie equivalent of this show is on MLB Network right now. Bad News Bears.
Which version?
The original, of course. Walter right. Matthau, drunk on I think he's drinking Narragansett. No, he can't be. That's California. He's probably drinking Schlitz.
I always thought we were major leagues.
Which one of us is Serrano?
Nate Milton.
Yeah. I'm Corbin Benson, of course.
I don't know. You're not sleazy, Reesh. I can't see you as Dorn. JD is Dorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, JD's pretty sleazy. Ben, I'm clearly Jake Taylor, the old fart, so the old grizzled guy who can't run to first base with two shitty knees. Reesh, you could be Willie Mays Hayes.
Okay, good.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And Ben, you could be you run like Hayes, but you hit like shit.
Oh, great line.
All right. Anyway, it's on MLB Network right now. All right. So yeah, Ring of Honor was fantastic Saturday night. Fantastic. And I thank Kevin Kelly very much. And he came in. We took some pictures after, so it was very cool. All right. Notice I'm trying to stall, because I really don't want to talk about Sunday.
How many people do you think are listening to your show saying, talk about the Rumble!
Slam it!
It's like shell shock for him.
I know.
And I don't want to talk about Ryback.
Could the main event have a shell shock in it? No, it's not going to. Okay. Let's dive in, because this could take up the rest of the show. Sunday night, I walked into the Wells Fargo Center because, you know, I'm dumb to think that there's ever going to be a Royal Rumble in Iowa. And first of all, beautiful building. Hate one of the two teams. I'm indifferent to the Sixers, but of course we all know I despise the Flyers. Nice building though. Sat down, great seats. Thank you, D'Amato. And was taken in the moment because it was my first live Rumble ever. So I was taken in the moment.
That surprised me when I saw you post that. I figured you'd been to something before.
No, the money situation never fit right. Dr. G went to the 2000 Rumble at the Garden, which would have been awesome because I would have seen Taz. And then, of course, you know, the awesome Triple H and Foley match. Mm-hmm. And I did not go to 94 in Providence. Of course, that was Justin's first pay-per-view. Yeah, and I didn't go to 08.
08 at the Garden too, right?
Yeah, never. I think the one... this might be a good question to ask. Let's do that now. I'm going to stall some more. I'm going to go around the horn.
This is the Randy Orton chinlock of main events.
Yep, except this is much more entertaining.
Coming up next, a 20-minute breakdown on the New Day versus Brass Ring Club match.
Yes, that had a stipulation that never happened. Do you guys have a pay-per-view that happened that you regret, that you knew that geographically or logistically you knew you could go to and didn't, and now you regret it?
Oh my God, yes.
The number one on my list is easily SummerSlam 2002. Easily. I mean, how did I must have been, I don't remember, it was 12 years. I must have been broke. Because how would I have not wanted to see Triple H Shawn Michaels live? I must have, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking that night. But that's the one I probably regret not being at was SummerSlam 02. Reesh, do you have one?
Oh my God, the 2001 Royal Rumble.
New Orleans. Yeah, how did you not go to that?
I actually had like an open ticket from a friend.
Oh, that's even worse.
And I said, and I didn't do
it.
Greatest show ever. My cousin went, and man, and I'll tell you this: I was so young. I never thought about going all the way to Mobile, Alabama. But I really, after watching it on pay per view, I really wanted to go see Beach Blast 92. That show was awesome, and I was jealous I wasn't able to go.
Was that the 30-minute Rude Steamboat?
Yes.
Yeah, I would love to go into that show too. Right?
I would have traveled to Mobile if I was like a teenager just to go see that show.
Yeah. Ben, do you have one?
I've gone to most of the ones that were near me. The one I remember not going to that I like came close was the 2000 King of the Ring.
Oh, like, in Boston. Well, you're probably good you didn't go because that show sucked.
I was like, that's the only show I can remember that like we debated getting tickets over and then didn't go to, but then it wasn't that good. So I don't have any major regrets.
I also debated Vengeance 04 in at the Hartford Civic Center. Mm-hmm. Again, no, I was probably broke. But
that 30-minute Edge Randy Orton match?
Yes, yeah, I regret it. But it did have, I mean, Triple H Benoit wasn't a bad match.
Nah.
But I'm glad that one's not as bad as SummerSlam 02. SummerSlam 02 was the one that really kills me. JD, WrestleMania 3 doesn't count, so.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have much
JD's
of a choice,
trying to find one that Andre was in.
The only one I could think of that was in Detroit that I didn't go to was the Rumble that Randy Orton won.
2009.
But, I mean, it's not that that was a spectacular card or anything.
Right.
It's just, I guess when you say our backyard, how close is that? Because, I mean, Chicago's only 4 hours.
Anywhere in, like, a four-state – like, for me, it would be Connecticut. Yeah. Like, for me,
well,
or Ben.
I would think of some of the Chicago – like, WrestleMania 13 was in Chicago, and I missed out, you know, Austin Brett.
Yeah, I would say, like, a four-state, like,
I had a seat
radius.
Right next to you for me, too.
You know, like for Ben and I would think, you know, New York, Jersey, Boston, Rhode Island. I mean,
yeah, I mean, like, there's been a lot of, I've never seen wrestling at MSG, period, which is a regret on my part. And I've lived in New York, New Jersey for 8 years now. So that's like a blanket, like any MSG show, I've just never made the effort to go in and see it. And I kick myself for it. Like every time they come back to MSG and I realize I didn't get tickets.
That's a Sistine Chapel of pro wrestling there.
Yeah. What about you, Reesh? Willie.
I got a good one, and you can all boo me. Spring Stampede 1994.
Oh.
Chi-Town.
Boo Steve Willie.
And it was at the Horizon.
Yeah.
And one of my good friends who ended up being my roommate in college went, and he wasn't even really a wrestling fan. He went with someone else. I could have gone. I have no idea to this day why I did not go. Like a senior in high school, it's only like 20 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm.
where I grew up. So yeah, I literally have no idea why I did not go to that.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Pistons are going to the playoffs. They lost by 20 to the Sixers tonight.
Well, yeah, Brandon Jennings is gone for the season.
Yeah, he tore his Achilles tendon. He's out.
Yep.
Oh, so now you're just going to drop it and walk away?
Yeah. So is DJ Augustin.
Sure, why not?
That's you heel.
I'll give Steve Willey a mulligan because around 1994, WCW was like on the periphery, but it wasn't like huge. In 2001, when the Royal Rumble came to New Orleans, WWF was on top.
Yeah,
everybody
no
was
excuse.
Going to the WWF, and I didn't go.
Yeah. You know, WrestleMania 11 was in Hartford, but again, I was a senior in college, and I was too busy looking for a job, and I was probably broke. Most of the reasons I didn't go was because I was broke. That's pretty much the only reason.
The weirdest random show I ever went to that I barely remember, but I know I was there, was a WCW internet-only pay-per-view in 1998 that had Sting Hogan as the main event at the Fleet Center. Wow. I don't know why that just popped into my head, but I remember
Boston
going.
Brawl?
Yeah, I guess so.
Boston Brawl. I remember that. It was an iPay-per-view.
Yeah.
It was like, it was right before.
Is that the ones that Mark Madden would do a lot of the commentary for?
Let me look that up.
Yeah, look it up because I'm curious.
I was hoping it was on the network. It's not.
Yeah, I don't remember the card. I just remember I was there because it was the only WCW show I ever watched.
Boston Brawl. Oh, where the hell is it?
And I also remember it because the Outsiders came out to a Fugees song.
I got it. Let's see. Bill Goldberg defeats Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker.
Yep.
Probably a very competitive match there.
Highly competitive matchup.
Yep.
It looks like a house show from that time, but they
it
put
basically it was, except that Hogan and Sting were in the main event.
Yeah, in a cage.
Yeah.
Booker T beats Mike Rotundo for the TV title. Jericho Malenko for the Cruiserweight, that looks like it could be good. Give him 15 minutes, and then Benoit Eddy for 15 minutes. So
yeah,
there's a good half hour right there.
Mm.
Wow, Steve McMichael beat Greg Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
1998?
Oh, yeah, I was excited about that.
Wow.
Well, yeah, Ben is a huge Greg Valentine guy.
Yeah, this doesn't look bad, man.
That's a huge Mongo guy.
You know how it takes Greg Valentine like an hour to get warmed up? It took me 20 years to become a fan of his.
What was the name of that card? Was it Boston Brawl?
Boston Brawl.
Yeah.
Did you find it on Wiki? Because I was
no. It's
a Graham
Cage Match, the Internet Wrestling Database.
Because it used to be on because if you type Boston Brawl on Wiki, it just sends you the WCW page.
JD, who did the Outsiders wrestle? Because I remember them being there.
Yeah, hang on. It's they teamed with Savage against DDP, Zbysko, and Luger.
The main event was right. The main event was
Hogan. Yeah,
was Hogan Sting in a cage, right?
Brett versus Flair.
Yep.
Steiners versus Raven and Saturn. I bet that could have been either a mess or pretty good.
Brett Flair, though. Fuck,
I have no recollection of most of this, but I was like looking back, it was like such a mishmash of like.
Yeah, it looks like more than a house show.
Well, it was like half house show and then half pay per view.
Well, they didn't do the Fleet Center that often, did they?
They never. That was the only opportunity I ever had to go to WCW because they
was that at the Fleet Center?
Yeah,
that was, and that was the same year WrestleMania was in the Fleet Center.
Yeah,
I thought it was at BU. Oh wow,
no.
Okay.
It was the only time WCW ever came to Boston. Like, they would come to Worcester a lot, but I never went to Worcester to see WCW.
Now, if I can interject with a dark match from the Spring Stampede 1994 that destroys anything that happened at that pay per view, Danny Bonaducci defeated Christopher Knight.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Partridge Family over Brady Bunch.
Oh, Steve, I'm so
I know.
Sorry. Sadly, they didn't mention that in the. Mean Gene probably didn't mention it in the 1-900-909-909-9900. But
Ben brought something up, and I just wanted to ask. I don't know if anybody knows the answer, but why did the WWF after SummerSlam never go back to the United Center?
That's a good question.
Maybe Steve knows.
I always thought it was because of the long-standing, you know, how loyal Vince is the long-standing relationship that he had with them. I mean, they were running Rosemont Horizon before I was, you know, before I was even around.
They've always been a Rosemont. That's their gig.
Allstate Arena, whatever they call it.
Yeah, it's Allstate.
And I feel like they Allstate Arena. It was Rosemont for me.
It'll always be Rosemont. Yeah, honestly, it'll always be Rosemont Horizon. It'll always be Rosemont.
So I always thought that they had a relationship with the owners of the building, so they always kind of kept it there.
Makes sense.
Did WCW do the United Center?
Oh, my God, yes.
Mostly, yeah.
Every Nitro was the United Center.
I would guess that's why. Because, like, here in Detroit, WWE never goes back to the Palace now because that was WCW's arena. They're always back at the Joe. They're at the Joe, then the Palace opened, WWE went to the Palace, and then when WCW started doing the Palace, WWE never went back.
Yeah. Nitro's used to have angles when they went to the United Center with the owner of the building. I remember. He was on Nitro a couple times.
And you could tell how popular the product was based on the lease, because Nitro was in the Superdome in like 97 and 98. Then they were in the New Orleans Arena in like 99. And then they were in the UNO Lakefront Arena in 2001.
And they're in Andrew's backyard.
And they're in Andrew's backyard by 2003. With the
But that's back-to-back SummerSlams, right? Because they were at the Palace in 93. And then never went back. And then they were at the United Center 94 and never went back.
Maybe they figured they couldn't top what they gave us at SummerSlam 93.
Yes, because Bret and Doink set the world on fire. Well, I guess Luger and Yoko wasn't.
Yeah, that was probably the best match. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's true.
The best match.
Well, no,
tonight.
Steiner's in and that, Bodies wasn't
that
bad.
They had a good Smoking Guns Sick Man tag, right?
Yeah, no, that was 94, I think. No, you might be right. No, maybe it was 93.
I can never remember. It was 94.
It was 94.
Okay.
But
yeah, 93 sucked then.
Yeah, Spring Stampede 94. That's yeah, Willie. Yeah.
You win, Steve.
Yeah. Yes. You should have went.
Actually, I don't know. No, Reese with Rumble 01.
Yeah. Reese is the worst, like always.
But you're our worst.
The six man at 94 was IRS and No, that's only a tag. There was no six man.
Okay, then was there a tag involving 1-2-3 Kid and Bam Bam?
No, it was IRS and Bam Bam.
Okay,
the Headshrinkers, right?
And then Alundra Blaze fought Bull Naka Naka No. I just felt like saying that. That's why I said that.
What are we talking about? SummerSlam 94?
Yeah. SummerSlam 93 was...
What other things can we talk about for the next hour?
Yeah, you like that?
Royal Rumble.
It's Tatanka Smoke Guns against Bigelow and the Headshrinkers.
That's a good match.
That was the six man.
Yeah, that's a good match.
Wow, you're right.
Your Yoko match was 18 minutes. Wow, that's much longer than I remember.
It only felt like 70 minutes.
and the ultimate deflator, Sean versus Perfect.
Yeah. Reese, did Anthony Davis get hurt tonight?
No, but they're losing badly right now for reasons I can't explain.
No, they're down by two.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're only down by two.
The NBA is weird. You could be down 18 in the first half, and all of a sudden it's tied.
Well, I don't know. It looked like Anthony Davis landed on his leg and his knee funny earlier.
He's been so great.
Anyway, all right, enough. We got to stop fucking around. Okay.
This is like the snakes at Pee Wee's Big Adventure, when you just keep staring at the snakes and you don't want to rescue them, and then there's nothing left to do. You're like, oh, fuck it, let me get these snakes.
All right, time for the Yoko nerve pinch topic. All right. Okay.
We got to take
time
it
for a break,
boss.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's time for a break.
Because. let's talk about one news bit. We'll talk one. Where are we on my clock here? Because I do want. Are we close to a break? No, we got about six. What do you guys think about? Let's do a couple of news bits, and then we'll. Sure. News bits not related. Well, I don't know if they're directly related.
Could they be wrestling news, at least?
Yes, they are. It finally happened the other day. We now have 1 million WWE Network subscribers. Did anyone think it was ever going to happen?
Do we have to thank
the fine Brits for this?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn that.
Yeah, but this is more of a snapshot, 1 million. You know, it's not like a base, like a permanent base of 1 million subscribers. It's like, oh my God, we got 1 million subscribers. We need to tell everybody now.
Right. I think it was like the press release has been written for 11.
Yeah.
They rushed out the door.
They had that in their back pocket for a day like Monday.
They had it like a week after it launched.
But
just
that's a
good thing. Changing the date every week.
But it's hard to predict because they're now on monthly commitments and they can cut it off. But how firm are a lot of those 1 million subscribers is the real
question. That's a good question. Yeah.
Who is your permanent subscribers? Right. You know, that's tough to figure out.
Yeah.
But a million's a million.
Hmm.
Next.
Monday Night Raw ratings were up even though there was no live wrestling.
Let's see.
This is tough because I've already had a lot of PTSD that I've had to deal with in my day job today.
So who's going to win the Super Bowl, guys?
The Saints. Oh, wait, never mind.
In Tom Benson's mind, they might be.
Doesn't he own nothing now? Does his wife take everything?
Yeah,
I'm only on the show tonight, so I don't get fined.
What's that, JD? You're only on the show what?
I said, I'm only on the show tonight, so I don't get fined.
Ugh. Who wanted to punch him in the face, huh? But you know what's weird? That whole situation with him is a weird dichotomy, because on the one hand, he's not obligated to – he's just obligated to sit there. He is not obligated to answer anything. So in that instance, he didn't do anything wrong, but on the other hand, he's a douche.
Does anybody have a favorite Katy Perry song?
Why is Dennis Scott wearing two different socks on NBA? Never mind. there was a show on SNY today where they were taking odds on what color her hair is going to be at halftime.
Oh, wow.
5-1, it's purple.
4-1 is who cares.
I like those odds.
I like those odds.
NXT, new champs, new tag champs.
Oh yeah. Blake and Murphy.
Not the Vaudevillains?
Oh, I didn't watch it.
Hmm. Oh, we just spoiled it then.
Was that last week?
All right.
No, tonight.
Who won it again?
Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, Scott. Your favorite team.
Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy.
The disgust in Jordan's voice.
Were they the ones? Were they the ones that were going around calling themselves the Mechanics for a little while?
No, that's Mike? A different.
And who's Mike?
Which team is that?
Tag team. That's Dash Wilder and someone else.
Oh yeah, Dash Wilder, Scott Dawson.
Yep.
Is it Mike and the Mechanics? What is
the tag division in NXT?
It's the living year, Steve Willey. You're living.
Yes. It's all the Mike and the Mechanics.
All right, so we have three.
We'll never be able to come up with.
I have a question about Buddy Murphy, though. Is he a darewolf?
No.
Is he a teen wolf?
Maybe.
Everything's
is he a Steppenwolf?
What a great movie, the first
one. Steppenwolf.
what does the coach say? Never trust a woman with a tattoo of a dagger on her body. And never, I can't think of the other two, and he goes,
never trust a guy named after a city.
Named after a city. Never trust
I got another one. Never trust a wrestler with a tattoo of a dagger on the front of his body.
And what the hell's the other? Yeah, well, that.
And a tramp stamp on the back.
And then he goes, everything else is cream cheese. All right, well, NXT TakeOver 4 will take place February 11th. Three matches are set. The rematch between Bull Dempsey and Baron Corbin.
Bull!
I love Bull Dempsey. Come on, guys. Doesn't Bull Dempsey have that cool old school territory heel look? Just this big fat dude with crazy hair and a beard. But he moves very well.
If it were 1986, he'd be making millions on the house show circuit with Hogan.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be an awesome dad. He looks like Black Bart, actually.
He's
jabbing shit
with
Hogan's forehead like a fork or something.
He's a streamlined version of Terry Gordy.
Yeah.
He's an AWA jobber.
Jerry Blackwell. You think he looks like Barry, I almost said Barry Gordy. Diana Ross thinks he looks like, no.
Barry Gibb.
Do you think he looks like Terry Gibb? Really? I don't know. He looks like Jerry Blackwell to me. Anyway, they're having a rematch. Fatal 4-Way for the women's title. Charlotte will defend against Sasha Banks, Bailey again, and Becky Lynch. I think Sasha wins it here.
I hope so. I think she's great.
Time. Yeah, I think Sasha pins like Becky Lynch or something. She's not going to. Charlotte will. This is a good way for Charlotte to lose clean, and then she can head to. She can head to the big roster. And, of course, the match we're almost looking forward to, Sami Zayn to defend the NXT Championship against the man, the myth, the most popular guy in the whole fucking company, Kevin Owens.
There was talk that was not going to be for the title, but they just announced that it will.
Yeah, it was a non-title match, which made me think Kevin Owens was definitely going to win. I don't know, Ben. You think they'll take it off Sami already? He just won.
I think Sami... Well, better. He's the quintessential better chasing than chased, and I think they'll have Owens win it, and then the story for the next 6 months to a year can be Sami trying to claw his way back.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just the natural story. And like the funny thing is, if it were main roster, I would be like, oh yeah, of course Kevin Owens is going to lose in his first title match because that's how they book it. But because
they're going to have three.
Yeah, but because NXT is the old school. Makes sense territory, and like no way in his first title match they make him look weak by losing, because then who wants to see a rematch?
Right. We'll talk more about this show.
Does anyone want to take the bait and say that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to be the feud of the year?
I don't see how it can't be at the moment. Yeah, at really? The moment,
like nothing in WWE that they can even concoct.
Well, let's
can be better
let's
than
not,
that.
Let's not be too. Well, let's not. We don't want to be too, you know, pessimistic. We haven't gotten to that segment yet. Let's talk about
the new podcast we're launching very soon, Wrestling with Pessimism.
Yeah.
Don't we do that already?
Yeah, it's called the Reaction
Show. I finally
got
my own show.
Jordan and Dylan are co-hosting Wrestling with Pessimism. All right. Why don't we take a break? We'll take a break. And when we come back, we will finally delve into the Wells Fargo Center on. So we've stalled long enough. We've had too much happy time. It's time to ruin it.
What are we going to talk about first? Cheese steaks. Impact.
The cheesesteaks, impact, and Philly Fanatic.
Ooh, cheesesteaks.
I want to go into that office at Lucha Underground. That place looks fucking awesome.
It does look pretty good. I did go to. We went to a place called Jim's on Saturday, and then we went to Tony Luke's on Sunday. Tony Luke's was good, although I had cheese with. I've never had with cheese with. I always would get American or provolone. Whenever
the guy that sang Wild Thing, Tony Luke.
No, Tony Mama Luke.
Yes, yeah.
Forget it,
Bob. I had the cheesesteak funky cold Medina. So, all right, why don't we take a break? We come back on the main event. We'll finally talk about the Royal Rumble and ruin everybody's night. No, just kidding. Talk about the Royal Rumble and set yourself up for the next month of shows and if anybody actually cares. And we'll talk about that weird Raw on Monday night, thanks to 59,000 inches of snow that never happened. It is the main event with the Core Four. We'll be back after this.
Are we going to talk about Fastlane?
Okay.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. We'll have 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net. Welcome back. Episode 26 of Your Home for Everything Modern Day Wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. I'm Scott Criscolo with the Core Four, Ben Morris, Andrew Reich, George Duffy, Steve Willis. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Just posted earlier today the newest episode of The Extra Point. I sat down with my brother this week. The doctor was a little under the weather. We previewed Super Bowl 49, talked about kind of the history of the Super Bowl a little bit from a casual fan perspective. Games that the casual fan would turn off and, you know, games that you would leave on. And it's funny, before last year's debacle at MetLife, we had like six straight really good Super Bowls until the Broncos laid a stinker last year. Really, guys, I mean, the last really crappy Super Bowl before last year's was... let me think.
Here's a tough one.
Seahawks. No. After that, that Seahawks Steelers game was pretty lousy.
Well, this is debatable. Was Colts Bears a bad game?
Oh yeah, Colts Bears was a bad game.
But was it a bad game?
Yeah, it was a bad game.
Okay.
The best thing about that was Prince's halftime show was pretty awesome. So, what's that, Ben?
But was it a bad game?
Yes, it was a bad game.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we had the two great Giants-Pats games, and then Steelers. Both Steelers games, their win over Arizona and their loss to the Packers, both good games. Anyway, we talk a lot about history, and we talk some college hoops and everything else. So episode 32 of The Extra Point up right now. One tournament that is up right now, Movies of the PTB Generation Tournament. Of course, the guys wrote all those awesome columns from 19... When did you start with, Willie? 74?
76, my birth year, because I'm 76. The oldest.
76 to this past year. So
Travis Bickle is his daddy.
So here's the tournament. Okay, here's the is this the whole thing or is this just a few of them? Okay.
Just a few.
Here's the Hoth region. You guys are awesome. Four regions: Tatooine, Hoth, Endor, and Hill Valley. So three of the four, of course, from Star Wars. Let's talk about these matchups, guys. Maybe we'll do a bracket here for round one. Here we go.
We got nothing else to talk about.
No, not really. Empire Strikes this is a tough one. Empire Strikes Back versus Fargo.
It's the same movie.
Same setting, yeah.
Yes.
I had to write about that one.
I didn't realize that that Star Destroyer's...
Steve Buscemi does look like Yoda.
Oh, yeah. Imagine Darth Vader talking.
Strange accents.
Luke, I'm your father.
Muppet-looking characters. And then there's also Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Could you imagine Darth Vader talking like, what's her name? Hey, Luke, I'm your father, eh? Take off. So, all right. And Empire Strikes Back won easily. Gravity, oh God, versus Casino Royale. Well, I'm a Bond guy, so you know.
I do not take responsibility for that.
And Gravity won by one. Give me a fucking break.
Really?
That's like when the 15th
Casino Royale saved the franchise. That movie's incredible.
No, but Skyfall was terrible. Better.
Huh?
Skyfall was better.
I didn't say Skyfall. No, I didn't say. Well, yeah, it was better. But Casino Royale is not terrible. It's better than this piece of crap.
I'm not even a big James Bond fan, and I thought Casino Royale was pretty awesome.
It is pretty. Yeah. I have a Skyfall
poster. I haven't
even
seen Gravity, and I know Casino Royale was better.
I'm gonna tell you, I was looking forward to Gravity, and it was good, but it was overrated.
Next matchup, Die Hard versus Home Alone.
Same movie again, basically.
Yeah. Oh, God. Keep the change, you filthy animal. Die Hard won by one.
Keep the change, motherfucker.
That's a tough call, man.
Yeah. Die Hard by one.
I'll go Home Alone.
I would have gone Home Alone.
I probably would have gone with Die Hard. Terminator versus The Matrix.
Mm.
And I mean the original, not those two shitty sequels.
The Matrix.
Terminator 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Both kind of like.
I believe I went with Matrix on that.
Yeah. They're both groundbreaking movies.
Terminator 1 by 1.
Yeah. I think it was Terminator 2 I'd vote for.
The Matrix gets credit for having a great plot.
Yeah.
If you can follow it.
Well, you can.
The sequels you can't
follow.
The soundtrack was awesome.
If you cut out the sequels, I think The Matrix is it's an all-time classic.
Yeah. The soundtrack.
Did it too much.
The soundtrack of The Matrix is pretty badass. It's got, what is that? Du Hast. Is that Bauhaus? And then Rage Against the Machine is on there. There's a bunch of other cuts. Good soundtrack. But
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
But your motorcycle, yes. But Terminator, the newest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, one by one.
So that he could promote no, Reeves will never sabotage.
next one, Spider-Man. And this is the Spider-Man 2, I'm sorry. Spider-Man 2, and this is the...
Spider-Man 2 is the best one.
Tobey Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
And Inglorious Bastards.
Ooh.
I am to blame for this.
I didn't see Inglorious Bastards, so I'm not going to count that one.
Yeah, I didn't either, and that's why I didn't. I was the one who abstained on this one.
Yeah. Inglourious Bastards is a great movie, but Spider-Man 2 was better.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Rish, okay. And also biased.
And Spider-Man 2 won 6-3. Silence of the Lambs and Aladdin.
Oh, that's easy. Silence of the Lambs.
I ate his liver with Jordan Duncan inside of Rish.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
Silence of the Lambs won 8-2. Yeah, oh, motherfucker. This is a killer for me. Oh, my God. I can't do this one. I would have to abstain because these are two of my favorite movies in the history of the fucking universe. Goodfellas and Halloween. The original, John Carpenter, not that Rob Zombie shitfest.
Goodfellas was Martin Scorsese getting back into the game, so I got to go with that one.
Halloween is like though that is the mold that was used by every great horror movie ever since. But again, Goodfellas is Goodfellas.
Great fun fact: John Carpenter actually wrote the music to the Halloween.
Yeah, he played it. Yep. Yeah. Yep, he did, and he said, "Traxxas, you would know this, Ben." Was it Traxxas product? No. I don't know. Whatever that group Mustafa Akkad owned, he asked, and John Carpenter did say, I want complete creative control, and I want my name over the title. What kind of awesome guy has bigger balls than that? Yeah, I'll do it. I want my name on the title.
Michael Bay.
Yeah, but his movies suck.
No, he's awesome.
There was a guy on TLC, the man with a 137-pound scrotum. His balls are probably bigger.
Yeah. Big. His name be above Holly's.
Unless you saw it in more detail than I did. You saw it several times, if I can remember.
What, the
was
scrotum?
It his balls that were 137 pounds? Was it just the scrotum where he had normal size balls
it was
and
like
a giant scrotum?
It was like giant.
Guys, I think we're vamping, but you're going to now.
Can you throw a scrotum over the top rope?
No, it's 137 pounds. I couldn't throw that.
Anyway, Goodfellas won. Goodfellas won 6. Goodfellas won 6-2. I don't know who wrote that. Who's Anthony Estrada? Well, I know who Anthony Estrada.
He was on Chips.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the guy who managed Umaga?
He said. He says that Halloween was cliched. I totally disagree. Oh God. Alien and Toy Story.
That's hard.
Same.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Same movie again.
Same movie.
Pretty same much. Movie again.
It's an alien in both.
Toy Story 1. Toy Story 1, 6-4.
Toy Story 3.
So the matchups will be.
Yeah.
See, 116 versus 8-9, right? Okay, so it'll be Empire Strikes Back versus Gravity.
That's a shutout.
Yeah.
That's a Georgetown 84 blowout.
Die Hard versus The Terminator.
Mm.
Interesting one.
Terminator.
I go.
Spider-Man, Silence of the Lambs. Spider-Man 2 against Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs should win.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. Yeah.
And then Goodfellas and Toy Story.
Toy Story.
Yeah, I can't see Goodfellas losing there. No way.
You can't see what losing?
I can't see Goodfellas losing there. Toy Story is a great movie, but it's not Goodfellas.
Toy Story, you gotta.
I think Toy Story would have beat Halloween had Halloween won, but I don't think it beats. I don't think it beats.
But you know what I think actually hurts Toy Story. Toy Story 3 was better.
Toy Story.
Mm-hmm. It's not even the best of its own movies.
So, but it was the first Pixar movie.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay, but is Terminator hurt by Terminator 2?
No.
Yeah.
I think so.
No, it's hurt by Terminator 3, the best of them all.
Fantastic. 2 is fantastic. I think the first Terminator is still better.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You like heel Arnold, huh?
Sam Totter in the first one. She looks like bacon in the second one.
Did you like heel Arnold or babyface Arnold?
It was more like... Oh, I like...
I just told you.
I liked heel Arnold much better. Yeah. I didn't like tweener Arnold. It was like...
tweener Arnold.
Like Steve Austin Arnold.
Yeah.
So anyway, check it out. Movies of the P2B Generation Tournament.
So is Edward Furlong like Tugboat?
You really want to say that? You only want to say... Never mind. I can end the segment now if you want. All right, guys. Great show. Shut up, Reesh. No. Movies in the P2B Generation Tournament. Check it out on PlaceBeNation.com. Glenn Butler at his Wednesday walk around the web today. You can check that out. Parv posted the Sprouts number 2 as they take a look at some movies, I guess. I got to read this.
Great hype job, Scott.
Do they watch plants grow? What does it even
mean? M, Suspiria, and Fahrenheit 9/11. Check on that. The P2B series rewatch Seinfeld. What did you guys watch, JD?
We just watched The Airport.
The Airport season 4 episode. Wow, you guys are mowing along, huh?
Mm-hmm. We took a week off too.
Wow. Hard traveling fanboys did the rundown, Marvel's Secret Wars.
And great column.
Russell Sellers top picks for this week and his new hotness, and of course, Reesh and Ben and Black Garris with. The most recent NBA team podcast. So
good imitation.
You like that? Black and Garris. I think that's the new. Isn't that Justin Gabriel? You had Justin Gabriel on your podcast, didn't you?
We did. I work with him.
Anyway, placementnation.com.
That's where he's been.
Your home for everything pop culture.
Scott, can I read something real quick?
What war?
Oh, no.
No, I just want the listeners to know what I do for this show. Here's a line from an article I was reading to find an answer to a previously asked question.
Yes.
To cradle his watermelon-sized sex organ, he wore a hooded sweatshirt as pants, using the hood as a makeshift scrotum sling.
I'd be very proud.
You need to nest that. You don't want to get a chill in the
That was actually a status update from Ben Morse on Facebook.
Wow.
Just posted it, too.
Yep.
Anyway, guys, we want to look ahead at the next bracket.
John Cena's wrestling Rusev at Fastlane, guys.
Okay, in the Tatooine region. Well, the Tatooine region looks like it already happened, so let's go over this one real quick. All right, fuck it. All right.
The tattoo region from Fantasy Island, that guy?
Yes. The plane. Boss, the rumble. They borrow the rumble.
Will would be hating us right now. I'll tell you right now. Oh, my God. All right.
We got to do this.
Enough's enough. All right, we open
Hill Valley region. Oh, okay.
Here's the hard part.
All right, we open with the pre-show.
Reesh, that's a line from the article that I was just reading.
All right, on the pre-show, we were supposed to have an elimination match. It was the New Day, Big E, Kofi Kingston, taking on. It was supposed to be a six-man, but somehow it wasn't. It was originally supposed to be Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods taking on Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, and Adam Rose. But somehow Adam Rose and Xavier Woods was not in the match.
Xavier Woods hurt?
Yeah, I think that's
in the Rumble.
Xavier Woods has an ankle problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just ditched it. So
he also has a severe case of no talentitis.
Oh, that's not fair.
Somebody call his mama.
It was weird. Incidentally, it was weird hearing Ernest Miller come out to that at the 2004 Royal Rumble, because I was just waiting for Cameron and I was waiting for Cameron and Naomi to come out. So that was I didn't actually watch that match. I was christening the Wells Fargo Center as only best a Mets and Bruins fan can. So I missed that. Was it any good? Anybody watch it?
Cesaro and Kid are awesome. If they're not the tag title holders by the summer, something's wrong.
Oh, the Ascension.
Yeah, something's definitely wrong. Awesome. So,
yeah. Of course. There's a predetermined tag team that's already coming up the ranks, and of course there has to be an organically cool team that's going to end up getting buried.
They also have an awesome name, the Brass Ring Club.
Well, did you see the t-shirts?
Yeah.
They pretty much look exactly like the Bullet Club t-shirts.
I don't know if you'll see them again.
Probably not. Yeah. No, those, yeah. New Japan's.
The t-shirts, maybe.
New Japan may be far away, but not stupid. So, we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts. All right. Our opener was, as team I just mentioned, The Ascension, who I've wanted to love and just continually get shit on for it, but really through no fault of anybody except themselves, taking on, for the second consecutive Royal Rumble, guys. Maybe they're the bad luck. The New Age Outlaws.
I did not pick them to win this tier.
Terrible Philly Fanatic hats. Come on, guys. I mean, they don't. Philly sports fans don't need their asses kissed. They have enough complex problems.
That was so weird that they're like, how old are they? 55, 50? Coming out in little kids' hats. Like, it's completely against everything that they were used to be.
So creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really creepy. Decent match. I wouldn't say anything earth-shattering. It was a little over 5 minutes. Ascension won. Really nothing to talk about here. I mean,
didn't do Ascension any favors.
No, the announcers buried them the entire match, even after they.
Not just the announcers. If you're going to put this, if you're going to put the Ascensions out there, they should squash them, and they did
murder
not.
Them. Murder yeah. them. Yep.
They had to come from behind to win.
Yeah, I need.
Outlaws got 90% of the offense in.
Obviously, being there, if you guys have insight, obviously with Cole and JBL and Jerry, please go ahead. Obviously, because I didn't hear them.
They were bad.
They're not good.
Luckily for you.
Yeah, as usual. I mean, obviously, as usual, they were probably dreadful.
They didn't. Like, the Ascension has a really cool finisher, the Fall of Man. They didn't even, say the name of the finisher. They're like, oh, and he just pinned him. Like, that's not insight, idiot.
Right. So then, tell me if I'm right, because I was doing round two of the christening of the Wells Fargo Center. There was a promo, apparently, right? Triple H backstage. Was that here before this tag? And Paul Heyman.
Yeah,
I think so.
They make a Nikolai Volkoff joke.
Says to Triple H, "I know I have a solution to your stink problem, and it's Brock Lesnar."
That's not going to go anywhere, which is weird.
I don't get that.
That was a
What's
waste
the point of that? Is he going to beat the? I mean, well, we could talk about when we talk about the February pay per view, if this supposed face to face thing is going to go down. I don't get it. And considering what the fans thought of Brock Lesnar at the end of the night, that may not work either, because I think he's a baby.
Think it was only done to paint Heyman more of a heel as he builds up Brock later on. That's it.
That's what I'm.
There was a nice line in that promo where Stephanie said that compared Sting to WCW, and the WCW crap won't fly here.
Yeah,
which is interesting, given
that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we listen to our fans. We don't have Mark Madden at the commentary table.
Probably because it's too small to fit him in.
I fucking hated him. All right. Next up, our first title match of the evening, the tag team championships on the line, your champions, the Usos, taking on Miz and Mizdow. Now, we were at, before the show, we met Brad, our crew met with Brad and his buddy at McFadden's, the place at the... at Citizens Bank Park before we walked over to the Wells Fargo. And these two guys, exactly like the two of them. In fact, one guy had real belts, one guy had toy belts. And it was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Did they do the dance?
No, they didn't do the dance. It would have been cool if they did, though.
The little spinning point, yeah.
Spinning point? No, they didn't do the spinning point. Maybe they did. No, I just saw them walking. All right. We were expecting heel turns and all sorts of stuff in this match. It went a little under 10 minutes, 9:20. Really nothing again to speak of. I mean, the Usos retained. Did that shock anybody, Willie?
It didn't shock me. What the disappointment I had, well, on many levels with this card, and this was a Raw match, and it was shorter than a typical Raw match between the Usos and Miz and Mizdow. They fought before in much longer matches. What I did enjoy about it, I like that the Usos, because they have gone up against Miz and Mizdow so many times, they mixed up their moveset at the end to win. They did something a little bit different to put away the match. The
big power bomb,
Yeah, the big power bomb, and then like the kind of the twisting splash variation after they had already done, you know, finished them off with splashes before.
Right.
So I enjoyed the match. It probably could have been 5 minutes longer.
Okay. JD?
Like Steve said, this is like a Raw match. I mean, these guys have fought a billion times already. The Usos use so many super kicks now. I just want to see them fight the Young Bucks, sign them, and, you know, have a super kickoff, you know? But no, I wasn't expecting the split here. I really thought they would, that Miz and Mizdow would do something in the Rumble, and they kind of did, but it's not really what I expected.
Ben?
You know, the problem that's starting to happen with Miz and Mizdow, because they're going at such a snail pace here, is that you now basically just have Miz in handicap matches.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to tag Mizdow in and have him, you know, turn the babyface's heel. So now it's like it's not that much fun to watch Miz work a handicap match, especially because he's the heel. So it's counterintuitive to everything. He becomes the heel in peril and never hot tags. So it's really weird. They got to do something. I really would love the Usos, because they are so good, like Steve was saying, get a nice feud to sink their teeth into with like a Cesaro and Kid. I don't really see him pussyfoot around with the Ascension and whatever's going to happen there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was a little shocked that there wasn't a title, that the titles that didn't change here, but
Usos just got them back.
Yeah, and they're going to be fed. I mean, if it's what we're thinking, they'll likely be fed back, you know, to the Ascension. Ascension would get the straps at some point. All right. Next we have another riveting tag match. Paige and Natalya take on the Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie. Nikki, of course, the Divas champion. Ben, if you'd like the next 26 minutes, go right, be my guest. I'm gonna read the Hoth. I'm gonna read the Tatooine bracket while you.
not a very good match.
Not I love Paige. Match. I'm so glad Paige is back to being a face again. She's so cool. Yeah.
She's the best. She's the best thing going about it. Her like goofy baby face character is the only good thing going in the Divas division right now.
Wasn't it kind of a weird match too? I mean, it was like a squash almost.
Yeah,
and they almost killed them.
They did, and they like. There was definitely a botch with Brie and Natalya, and the finish was weird. It was just off. The whole match was very off. Yeah.
I feel like Paige barely wrestled.
She didn't.
Yeah.
She was on the apron most of the time.
Yeah, she was waiting for that hot tag, and it just didn't happen.
Never happened. Yeah, weird.
Well, there, you know what the one weird moment was? That Brie tried to pin... I can't remember if it was Paige or Natalya.
Oh, yeah, and the ref stopped the match dead.
Paige had already tagged out to Natty, or vice versa. And Brie just grabbed her and tried to pin her anyways. And the ref literally had to go, Brie, she tagged out. It was bizarre.
You will follow the rules.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just, let me ask you guys something. Do you think that Brie is a legit heel here? Or do you think she's trying to get cutesy with
Nikki? It's gone on
Nikki?
Too long at this point for her to be
like subversive.
Trying to play something. Yeah, she's just a heel.
Yes, Brie Bella on TV has gone on too long. That's true.
Well, both of them have. Except one's helped herself. All right, so the Bella Twins win. Nikki's still Divas champion, and nobody cares.
Oh, by the way, I brought it up in the live blog, but the fact that Michael Cole had to note in the first match between the Outlaws and the Ascension that the tag team titles were not on the line.
That was good.
That was a piece on commentary you missed, Scott.
Wait, the tag titles were on the line in the match where
neither team was the tag team champion.
Michael
Cole noted this. He said at the beginning of the match, he goes, this match is not for the tag team titles.
Oh, my God.
They'll blame Dean Malenko for that one, too.
That's ridiculous. So there you go. So the Bella Twins win and nobody cares. All right.
Hey, something fun.
Yeah.
So, no, and like if we're looking big picture of the Rumble, to this point, how do you think the Rumble was doing it? You know, at, you were there live, Scott. How did you feel this was?
This actual show has been dreadfully dull. Dreadfully dull. The Philly crowd did get up for the New Age Outlaws, obviously. You get roped into nostalgia. It's just nature when you're a wrestling fan. Usos, you know. Paige got a great pop. Natalya, nobody cared. But Paige got a hot pop. And the Bellas are the Bellas. So far, I think the crowd was consistent.
It's kind of weird. You just had all tag matches, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what, four in a row?
Yeah, including the pre-show.
Pre-show.
Yep.
And only one with any really, like, skin to it.
Yeah. We haven't had one singles match on this show because, obviously, the next one isn't either. Triple threat match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Brock Lesnar defends against John Cena, Seth Rollins. I was not surprised at the next 22 minutes and 44 seconds. Because maybe it's what's going on around this company that is making me appreciate Cena more. But I thought he busted his ass in this match. You knew Seth Rollins. Look, guys, let's be honest. Seth Rollins, and I know we goofed about on the last show with Will and you, Ben, but Seth Rollins is a fucking, he's filthy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The guy's got the goods. So you knew he was going to bring his game. I was surprised at Brock's performance in this match.
I was too.
He beat the shit out of everybody, then laid out for 12 minutes, and then got the win.
And it was believable why he laid out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They booked it perfectly. They had Brock just explode, then get taken out, and then explode again.
Yeah.
And that's how he should be.
When you talk about, and we'll go back to Brock in a minute, but this question I've actually really been looking forward to asking you guys today. Are there two guys that have better chemistry at the moment than Rollins and Cena? They really work well together, and I think that really blows people away. Rish, what do you think?
You know,
I think they work great together. I really do.
They're terrific. Now, a lot of people would say that because they've been so repetitive with wrestling each other for the last few weeks or few months, mm-hmm. that it felt a little stale in the middle of the match. Mm-hmm. But if you take it out of context and you don't worry about, you know, the crowd kind of getting a little bit of sleep while Brock was on the after the announce table spot, their back and forth is terrific. I mean, Rollins, it's all how you fit into Cena's little sequence and how you can make it work. The one who I thought did it best was Punk, but Rollins does it really, really well. Like, he does the flips and then he goes right back into the protobomb and then the, you can't see me, and they really counter each other really well in that stuff. It was just, if you want to know how great this match was, the Cena-Rollins stuff was the most boring part, which is a real compliment because that's...
Because it wasn't boring.
That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Just the crowd was not as lively for that part as when Brock would just come in. I personally, Scott, I know I'm kind of jumping the topic, but I loved the Rollins-Lesnar stuff. I thought that was great.
Yeah, no, I did too. That's fine. Yep. No, it was exceptional.
Rollins looked like a boss. He looked like he belonged.
Yeah. What do you think, Willie?
What do you think
of his and Cena, their chemistry?
Oh, Rollins and Cena? See, I haven't watched them that much on Raw. I haven't been watching it as much as I had in the past. And so it wasn't that dull to me. I noticed that crowd that had kind of quieted down during that part. But just little things, like how Rollins flipped out of the AA and landed perfectly on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Just looked like they really had a good chemistry, just physical chemistry with each other. That sounded kind of gross.
Matt Seidel chemistry?
Seth Rollins is filthy.
Yeah, he's filthy. Yeah. JD?
To answer your question about chemistry, the only people I could think of that have really, really good chemistry in my mind right now, and it's a different type, are Cesaro and Kidd as a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
This is totally different because it's guys working against each other rather than with each other. But yeah, I think Andrew had a really good comparison with the Punk thing. I think Rollins in a lot of ways fits Punk's style, even to the body type, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays off Cena really, really well. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to say this now. One thing that I do think they need to stop doing with Cena is, does anyone ever get pinned by the Attitude Adjustment anymore?
No.
Like, no. Everybody kicks out of that thing now.
Yeah.
You know? That's. But I think the reason why when they were in there by themselves, people were a little bored. It's not that it was boring. It's just that nobody thought that the match was going to end there.
Right.
And to the credit of the booking, I think when they brought the stretcher out and stuff like that, to make it seem legit like Brock's out, I think they were doing everything they could to make you think, yep, it could end right here. I don't think people bought it, but I think they really did as much as they could to get people to buy it. And I thought that was a really good touch with the stretcher and everything because, you know, in any triple threat match, if somebody's out, nobody buys two guys in the ring just fighting and it's just a clean pin. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The third guy's going to play a part. So I thought the stretcher part was really smart to make people think, okay, maybe Brock is done for and – let's watch these two.
Scott didn't listen to it, obviously, but Michael Cole also broke in the middle of the match that Brock Lesnar broke his rib.
Yeah.
Which is funny. It's like, okay, so the trainer just told you or something?
Yeah.
You know?
I think Cole assessed it himself. He was a Gulf War reporter.
Yes.
He's seen
broke
a lot.
Rib.
He's seen a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we were sitting there, and I turned to Armento, and I go, Jesus, David, the fucking stretcher's been there like – feels like an hour. It was like, so what the fuck's taking so long?
You know, it was really awesome that speaking of that spot, that they I just noticed it at the Rumble. I don't know if they used it before. Mm-hmm. They got this new like super slow-mo replay camera.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Like yeah, somebody mentioned that.
Like NFL film style.
Yeah. It is awesome.
Yeah,
and it was the one
that.
Thing that saved the main event later on. It's kind of cool. We can talk about it.
That's
In terms of like that slow mo and just images, Rollins' elbow. It's not necessarily
the air.
It's not necessarily the move. It was just, and obviously, if you rewatched on Raw, it was how the move looked. It just looked great. It
looked like he's 40 feet in the air.
Yes.
You're talking about whatever the fuck the thing's called, Phoenix something or
is that no,
no,
the elbow,
the elbow to the table on Brock.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yep.
It looked incredible.
It reminded me of Shawn Michaels, and it's something they could probably use in video packages for the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be all over the place.
Yep.
Is Rollins, like, the next, like, our new version of Shawn Michaels, though?
I wouldn't go that far yet.
Yeah, that may be jump. Even I think that may be jumping the gun.
Yeah,
but the high flyer that can deliver great matches.
I could physically, I see what you're talking about.
Yes, that's what I really meant in that.
Charisma, no.
Typical Steve. I make a bad point, he cleans it up.
There you go.
Or Jordan shits all over it. So
here's the thing about before we move on. Here's the thing I want to say about Rollins and Cena's chemistry, Scott. It's kind of feeding back into what you're saying about Punk too. The thing about Rollins, if you listen to him on any interview he does, like any shoot interview or even like that Shield documentary they did on the network, the thing about Rollins that I think distinguishes him from a lot of the younger guys on the roster is he has absolutely no fear and also has a huge ego that he'll admit to. Like, he has no doubt that he is the best wrestler in the company. He'll tell you. Like, even to a point, like, I think like a Cesaro or a Dean Ambrose, like, they even get a little sheepish backstage. I don't think Seth Rollins has a problem telling Triple H, Vince McMahon, anyone how good he is and insisting I need to be put in this position. And I think that's how Punk was. And I think that carries over to his chemistry with Cena because Cena's the biggest star in the company. He works whatever you want to say about him, he works his ass off in every match. And I think he can be very intimidating probably for a younger guy to wrestle. I don't think Rollins gets intimidated. And I think that's why their chemistry is so good because it's two guys busting their ass and they're neither of them are afraid of anything. One, because he's a made man, and one just because he is fearless.
I agree.
Good point.
The difference with and the difference between Rollins and Punk is Rollins will play ball.
Oh yeah, big difference.
Whereas Punk will be a ball buster. That's the difference.
Or take his ball and go home.
I think the other difference is I think you know Punk had this sense of like right and wrong, and this is the right thing, and this is the wrong thing. I don't think Rollins is self-righteous. I think Rollins is just like, you know what? I'm going to bust my ass, and if things work out for me, great. I don't think he cares necessarily how others are treated. And I don't even say that in a bad way. I just think he's ambitious. I think he's more ambitious than – I think when Vince was making his brass ring speech –
I was just thinking that, Ben.
Yeah. Seth Rollins was the guy who's like, that's not me. I'm like, I will do whatever it takes, and I'm not lazy.
Well, what I was thinking about the brass ring thing is I think the brass ring that Vince is talking about is more that backstage attitude that you say Rollins probably has. He's the one who will go up and say, no, this needs to happen. You know, brass ring really has nothing to do with what we see on screen, I don't think.
No.
Right.
I've got a point to make about that later on.
And I think that's the one thing. I think we saw that Vince did, as frustrated as he got, I think Vince liked Punk because he would stand up to him. And I think right now the only young guy I see doing that, and I could be completely off base, but I feel like Rollins is doing it. And I feel like that's why he's in the position he's in.
He's assertive. He's assertive and he steps up. He can do that to Vince. He feels comfortable doing it. Whereas other guys might just take their shit and complain about it and not do anything about it.
And I also go ahead. Finish your point, Ben.
Oh, no, I was going to say this to get really blasphemous. I think a guy who probably doesn't stand up for himself as much as he should is Daniel Bryan. And I think he could learn from Rollins.
Yeah, who's not an ambitious guy. He seems just very happy-go-lucky.
I think if Daniel Bryan had the ambition that Rollins had, we wouldn't be seeing a lot of the shit we're seeing now.
Yeah,
that's a fantastic point. That's a fantastic point. And that brings me to when we get to the end. So Brock crawls up, you know, but he like popped up and then he busted out of the finisher and then eventually he F5s Rollins onto the
I wrote in the live blog that is the red letter definition of a Superman comeback.
Yep.
That is how you do it.
Two questions. We'll go around the horn. Number one, anybody get pissed that Rollins ate the pin or does it not matter?
No, doesn't matter.
I don't think so either. Number two, is this really the first time in a while that John Cena has legitimately lost a feud?
I asked that in our chat.
When was the last time he's gotten beat down pretty much three matches in a row by anybody? The last time somebody of that stature took three straight beatings like that, in my opinion, probably Triple H to Batista. WrestleMania 21, Backlash, and then Vengeance, three straight times.
It wasn't all in a row, but I would argue he lost his feud to Punk because he was never able to beat
him. That was one I was.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good one.
I know he won the match in February, but Punk won every time.
That was the only time he ever beat Punk.
True.
And I did like after the event was over, and I don't know if you saw this on the screens there, Scott, if they showed this like with the Fallout when they set up the deal with Rusev. Before Rusev came on, he was dejected. He looked miserable. He looked beat. And he wasn't poopy anymore. You know, he wasn't poo pooing the whole thing. He looked like, this sucks.
Well, and it's funny you say that because
he looked dejected.
Well, let's put it this way: on the way back, we had two cars going back. One car was me, Armento, and D'Amato. The other car was Justin and Roger and the rest of the guys. We stopped at two different rest areas in Jersey.
Uh-oh, is this a click story?
I wish it was. No, if this was a click story, I'd have started it at the beginning of the show, and we'd still be talking about it. That would have been the ultimate.
It needs more fanny packs and more somas.
Exactly, and I would have given them both. We stopped at one, and then Justin and the guy stopped at another. They, as you saw on the live chats page, they ran into Bad News Barrett, who seemed like he was in a pretty giddy mood. And he got pictures with him. We saw Rusev and Lana, and they were not happy.
Ooh.
In fact, two fucking clowns walked up to him, and he fucking pretty much gave him the eye of death, and he walked out. It's weird because I didn't see him at first. I was coming out of the bathroom, and it was across from, you know, like a convenience thing or whatever. Which one was it? Ben, you would probably remember. It was the James Fenimore Cooper restaurant.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Was that one. My favorite's the Molly Pitcher, personally. But
they're
anyway,
all great.
They are all great.
So your gas station food go? No, just kidding.
Well, no, they all have like really good. I think Roy Rogers is still at the Molly Pitcher, which is pretty awesome. Anyway, so I walk out of the bathroom and right across from the bathroom is the little convenience store. And I see a guy from behind, his back's to me, and he's got like an NXT like jumpsuit on. And I'm like, wow, those are fucking cool. When the hell did those come out? I would kill for one of those. And he had long hair. To me, totally over my fucking head. I'm like, I had no idea who it was. until I see this hot blonde chick.
I was going to say, you can miss Rusev, but...
Yeah, but until this hot blonde chick walks around, and I'm like, holy fuck, that's Lana. And I turn around, and holy shit, it's Rusev. And neither of them look thrilled. Now, I don't know if that... Now, my personal opinion is if... And this is an Attitude Era problem now. Or this stems from then. If this was 1986 and we saw the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov at the rest... Well, Iron Sheik could be doing lines, but he'd be in the bathroom right next to me snorting on a mirror. But if I ran into like a grade A WWF Federation old school heel and he did that to me, I'd be like, boo, bad guy, instead of, man, what a dick. You don't think that way back then, but the Attitude Era ruined that. It ruined, you know, it took kayfabe with it. So now nobody can play up a character anymore in public.
You have to be politically.
You have to be
correct.
Nice to everybody.
Yeah,
but now, that I mean, the nice. Fact that they were traveling together, though.
But it was late. I think they're going out.
Yeah, they're together.
Yeah, they're going out.
They've been dating for years.
Lucky fuck. He's not even that good looking either. You know, I was the guys. The kid walks up to us, is like, dude, what a fucking dick. And I didn't say anything. I walked away and went to the car, and I looked at the Armento and Tomato, and I go, I'm not upset. They're fucking heels.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This isn't 19 fucking 99 where everybody doesn't give a shit. That's the old school kayfabe in me. I'm happy that they fucking blew them off. They're heels. What they're totally supposed to do.
Bad heels. Like the, yeah.
You know?
They're supposed to be anti-American. And
it's also midnight. It was a long night. They're probably.
That's what I was gonna say. It's just a good excuse to be an asshole.
It wasn't exactly WrestleMania 17, so I mean, you know, they're probably in a shitty mood.
They're out of churros on the roller.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. He'd just become a mega baby face.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the Rusev chant got pretty hot. But anyway, I just want to tell you that story since you mentioned Rusev, that we ran into him and he was awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea. You
awesome really kayfabe heel. Because I couldn't get a picture because I wasn't going to be a dick. So, I mean, Justin and those guys were lucky. Bad News Barrett was pretty cool. Which is fine. I'm not criticizing Bad News Barrett because he's a heel, but he's a different kind of bad guy. You know what I mean?
He's a cool bad guy.
He's a cool bad guy. He's like a modern day bad guy, whereas Rusev is playing a Federation era bad guy like Ivan and Nikita Koloff kind of thing, and you know, it's, and I'm fine with it. I didn't have a problem with it. The kids were douches and whatever. All right. So Brock Lesnar retains the championship in a fantastic match, and we were talking, was this match better than the Ring of Honor one? Now, I could say something about it and the guys, but you guys obviously would have to wait till that episode of Ring of Honor comes out. But I'm curious, we'll talk down the line, maybe the next two shows from now probably would be, right? When that episode comes out, we're going to talk about that because they were obviously the two best matches I watched this weekend. We watched this weekend, and I'm curious to see your guys' opinion. So definitely don't miss that 6-man tag because I really want your guys' opinion of it because I want to know if you think that was better than the triple threat.
The title match was the funnest WWE match I've seen in a long time.
It's going to be hard pressed to. I mean, look how long it took last year for anything to eclipse that the Shield Wyatt's match.
I don't think anything did.
I have a feeling something has to. And the way we're talking about this WrestleMania card, maybe something will, but anyway. All right.
Hang on, before we turn down that road.
Yes.
The road to WrestleMania?
Let's get on the fast lane real quick. No. Yeah. you know what
God
I think was
damn it, I hate fast lane.
Me too. What nice. I think was really, really good about this match was, for all the criticisms I've made of Seth Rollins, I feel like his character totally turned a corner in this match. And I think it was great storytelling. At the beginning of the match, he's running away, letting the other guys beat each other up, and he's kind of like playing the coward. By the end of the match, Brock the Monster comes in, kills Cena, and Rollins stands up and gets a briefcase and charges him. You know, I just thought, I think what I've hated the most about Rollins is that he's playing like the cowardly type guy. And in the last few weeks, they seem to have gone away from that. And I think it's really improved Rollins' work as well, his character work.
Well, you know what it is too, JD? I think early on he had to be because he had to be protected by the authority.
Yep.
And I got to play that along. But now I almost feel like this title match was kind of in a vacuum where – all right, I know I'm the bad guy, but fuck it. I want the belt, and I don't give a fuck if Brock is a quote bad guy or not.
I don't know. I could see going forward. I could see the authority being an entity, and he's kind of linked with him, but he's off doing his own thing going forward. I think. Mm-hmm. I just thought there was a, I thought it was really, really good for not just him coming out. Everyone knew he could work. You know, everyone knew he had great matches. But I think, I think it kind of speaks to what Ben was saying about his real life character, and it's almost like maybe they're letting him play to that more than the cowardly corporate guy. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all right, here we go. First question.
What's up?
What up?
It's who did, time who to love, rumble.
Who didn't love to see Bubba Ray back? It was pretty awesome.
Fantastic.
Great pop. Crowd went nuts.
And Ben was, called it, by the way.
What's that?
I did.
Ben called that. Surprise.
Yeah, Armento did too. He actually thought that Bubba Ray was going to be number one. He was free.
But he was fat.
I think just because that outfit.
Yeah.
He hasn't worn that outfit since 2004 when he was fat.
Yeah,
I think it's just. I think he just looked. I think
he's
it was
in
just
great
baggy.
Shape.
Yeah, he was tweeting ticks of him and Velvet Sky like a day earlier.
Yeah. Oh,
which, by the way, Velvet Sky is a free agent now.
Free agent, like single, or free agent, like
no
so
longer
you're
with TNA.
And there's a chance.
Nice.
She's no longer with TNA.
Nice. I love Velvet Sky. Anyway,
this is so creepy.
Yep, super creepy.
Rusev. No.
I regret mentioning it.
No, don't. You're fired. No, so, no, I like Velvet Sky. Anyway, so seeing Bubba Ray was cool. All right, the Wyatt Jesus push. Let's talk about this for a minute. Couple people have told me, yeah, but he threw out a bunch of bums. So did fucking Diesel.
Yeah,
so
did
Steve Austin.
Who gives a shit? So that argument carries no water with me.
I think there is some argument that you can make against it, though. I don't think it's the he threw out bums, but I think it's how he was thrown out at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's later. We're talking about
this
part. Yeah.
I know, but I think you could argue that killed the beginning part.
I feel like we're going to talk about it, but I feel like the Rumble was a tale of two halves.
Sure it was. All right. Well, guess what? Timer ran out. All right, guys. We're going to talk Fastlane. No. Okay. We'll keep going, obviously. Is this the beginning of him and Taker?
I think so.
Seems like it.
I don't think they know.
I think they're making him look good for somebody.
Yeah, I agree with Ben. I don't think they know.
I think they're planning for it to be, but that doesn't mean it will be.
Taker's got to be 100%, though. Yeah. We can't.
Well, and I think if it's not Taker, it's Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They just had a picture of him from, I think, Instagram with Michelle McCool. He looks white as a ghost.
He looks like Art Carney on the Honeymooners.
That's a great sound, and it's totally true.
Ugh. All right.
I went on record last year saying I didn't even want to see Undertaker Brock Lesnar because I didn't want to see Undertaker ever wrestle again, and I'm got to stand by that.
Okay. Now the moment. He comes in at number 10.
Big pop.
Last, a huge pop. But a tempered pop.
Yeah.
We're not talking Boogie Man
right now. We're not talking.
Zack Ryder is number 9, Scott.
No, I said number 10.
Oh, I know. I'm telling you, Zack Ryder is number 9.
Jordan's joke is getting no sold.
Yeah, right?
That's why you notice I didn't
much
say
like Zack Ryder's offense.
Yeah.
Only Matt Rotella popped for that one.
When they did the pause before number 10, I thought it was going to be Ambrose. Because him and Wyatt had the issue.
I thought it was Punk. No,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, right.
No, I was like,
I was hoping
that
was
chant Sting. Lasted. That chant lasted about 15 seconds. So everyone's like, no, I didn't bother. All right. He lasts for 10 minutes and 11 seconds. He does ditch. He does kick out Tyson Kidd and then is eliminated by
Rusev and Wyatt.
Rusev.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Wyatt.
Wyatt for the most part.
Wyatt hit him out, but Rusev
Wikipedia
Wyatt
credits Wyatt. Wikipedia credits Wyatt for the full elimination. All right, Willie, you first. First thing that popped into your head when the elimination actually happened.
I was wondering how hostile the crowd would be and if they would be able to maintain it for the entire rest of the Rumble.
Okay, I'll answer that question for you in a moment. Willie, Reesh?
I'll answer again.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Do you have more?
No.
Reesh, first thing that popped in your head when his feet hit the floor.
Roman Reigns is going to main event WrestleMania.
Okay. Ben?
Do they not learn?
JD. Fucking awesome! No.
No. You idiots.
Okay. yeah, I was, and I know the guys were in Pittsburgh last year, but the minute his feet hit the floor, I turned to Armento and I said, I'm fucking scared. I'm petrified right now. I'm afraid I'm going to get hit with a battery like fucking like Mabel in the 95 King of the. It was getting that was the first thing that popped into my head. The minute Brian's feet hit the floor, the first thing that popped into my head was the 1995 King of the Ring. We're about to die.
I'm surprised it wasn't more hostile, to be honest with you.
Because I think people expected it. I hate to say it. I think just people knew. That's my opinion. I think people just knew. The poor bastard next to me, nice kid, nice guy. He looks at me and he goes, I could boo, but I kind of knew. It was sad. It was sad. Everybody kind of knew.
Let me ask you.
It was a different deal than last year.
I think the hostilities are different this year than they were last year in Pittsburgh. Well, this year, I think everyone was pretty much like, oh, you fuckers. Like last year was, no! This year it was like, oh, God.
Pittsburgh's was more visceral.
Yeah.
It was like, I fucking hate you. Yeah. You know, well, this you know is why, like, Daniel really Bryan, don't like you.
Daniel Bryan was a much bigger deal last year.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah, but he wasn't in it, so you could at least have the scapegoat. I don't know. Well, there was no Bryan to throw out.
I'm just saying,
I think part of the reason the reaction was bigger last year is because he was a lot hotter last year.
Yep.
I want to ask Scott this. Did they just make a mistake by putting Bryan into the Rumble in the first place?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
For just that? Yes. Yeah. And I think that was another reason people – I heard a couple guys a couple rows back going, why was he even there? You know, and I had assholes with yes signs blocking me, so I'm kind of glad he was knocked out so I could at least watch the fucking rest of the show. That's my Jordan Duncan answer.
There's a Triple H fan in him saying that.
Yeah.
He was in there for 10 minutes, and it seemed like it was less than
that. I was going to stand up and say it was best for business, but I didn't have a Triple H shirt on, so nobody would have believed.
Yeah, it's like Steve said. It was an intermediary role. It was like, hey, you're here. Hey, you're gone.
And
fucking really?
And honestly, as the match progressed, it wasn't even a boo. People just gave up. Like, the countdown, 8, 7, 6, was just getting lighter. Like, it was like half the crowd was doing it. I don't even think there was actual anger. Honestly, I think it was more like defeat.
Yeah, it felt like the thing about Pittsburgh was it was like pretty much give us Daniel Bryan or give us death. Yeah. Like if he didn't win, like that was the only outcome. Like anyone else would have gotten booed. With this year, it felt like there were actually like when Ambrose came in, there was hope. There was some cheers.
Yes.
When Ziggler came in, there was hope. Yep. Like I think you guys would have accepted alternate possibilities.
Yeah, but it was already lost by that point because like I said, the Rumble was a tale of two halves. Bryan getting eliminated was a turning point. What do they do for the next 5 or 6 picks? They put in a bunch of heels and worthless shit wrestlers that no one cares about.
Yeah, they did.
Killed it.
Well, here was the placement was not by accident. Let's put it this way, Reesh. I think the placement was by design. I'll tell you why. After Bryan, 11 was Fandango. Nobody gives a fuck. 12 was Tyson Kidd, who, you know, is getting a bit of a bump, as you guys have been, we've all talked about with the tag team. 13 was Stardust. Mm-hmm. And then 14, we had another surprise in DDP, which was which got a pretty good pop. And he drilled like freaking 5 diamond cutters.
Yep.
Let me tell you something.
Diamond cutter was awesome.
And everybody hit them right. It wasn't like China's shitty stunners she used to do. they all took the diamond cutter as well. Then Rusev came in, and then everything changed after that. So you did have a gap of, you know, where the fans were able to stew for a little bit, and then you started seeing guys that they could kind of latch onto. When Reigns came in at 19, I will say this. He did not get as shitty. It may have sounded bad on TV, but it wasn't dreadful when he was coming down the steps.
It sounded bad on TV.
Yeah. It sounded bad on TV.
It wasn't as bad. It got worse later. But the crowd was high-fiving him. There was some – I think it's different than Batista. It was different than Batista, I think.
Well, Batista was in, like, the late 20s. So I guess the idea of Reigns at 19 was to sort of kind of have him ease into it. But Reigns is a kind of guy where you want him to just destroy people.
Right.
You should have had him in there late and destroy people. Don't let him just hang around.
Yeah, he literally – that was the other thing that pissed people off.
It left him out there to die.
He sat there, took some bumps, and didn't – he pulled like Road Dogg in 2000 where he latched onto the fucking hole for
– He did Punk last year, only he didn't have a concussion. He had something wrong with his mouth. He was bleeding all over the place.
Here was the killer. And then, of course, as mentioned, Ambrose came in at 25 and then Dolph at 30. The place went nuts. The last two people you wanted to see at the end of that match were Keith and Big Show.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to put an ice pick in my fucking forehead when I saw those two come out. Because all of a sudden, D'Amato says, and it might be my favorite line of the night, "I guess we're partying like it's 1999. Greatest line of the night.
I think Jordan made a point, huh? A statistical point about that in the 2000 Royal Rumble?
Yeah. That was basically when Rock came out, we had 3/4 of the final four of the 2000 Royal Rumble in the ring.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Pretty sad.
And we Roman Reigns playing Xbox.
Xbox. That's what I think ruined it for everybody. I think if Roman Reigns had actually looked like a badass at the end, I think you still would have got boos, but I think you might have gotten some healing.
I don't know, man.
He legitimately looked. Yeah, but instead, flies around like a fucking lump on of shit. We see, oh my God, teased Kane Big Show. Oh my God, give me a break.
Yeah, just don't fight.
And that was that. And I said this all the ride home to Armento and to D'Amato, and we were talking about it in the chats too. I think the thing that insults me the most, and I think it insulted Rock too, which is what I think he got in Vince's face after the show. You're telling me that this is where Vince has completely fallen off the rails. I think he needs his you know, Alzheimer's medicine. You're going to take like a 1987 tactic of latching a guy that needs to get over with a guy that'll be perpetually over and use osmosis? What is this, a Manchurian candidate? Like we're a bunch of fucking idiots? I think I'm more insulted at that than I am at Reigns winning in general. That we're all just a bunch of fucking dopes. Oh my God, Rock likes him? Yay!
Fans by association.
What are we, 9? Yeah. I mean, come on. And I think Rock's probably standing there going, "I'm getting booed. Nice job, asshole."
Yeah.
And he gives a look at one point. I thought I saw a look.
He did.
He's got this look like, oh, fuck this. This sucks. And he got in Vince's face. I think that insults me more than anything else, that we're a bunch of freaking drones. That's what I think insults me more than anything else.
It seemed like he was angry because on the post-show, he did an interview with Todd Grisham alongside Roman Reigns, and he was – you could tell he was angry. He wanted to punch Tom Phillips in the face.
It's Tom Phillips.
You mean Tom Phillips?
What did I say?
I said Grisham. Was he – what Rock was on
the – I said Grisham again? Fuck.
You said Kevin Kelly.
He's just as forgettable.
You called him chumpy for some reason.
But no, but let me say this. If this is true and Rock got in Vince's grill, this is the second year in a row after the Royal Rumble, the second most important match in the WWE all year, that a star guy has gone in front of Vince and said, "You did it wrong. You need to fix this."
Yep.
Yeah. What does that say?
Mm-hmm. Last year it was
Punk, year was Batista with Punk after he quit.
Yep.
But now you can't fix it. You made your choice.
And I think
Roman Reigns got the brass ring.
And I think the other thing that bugs people is that last year, even though they did make it right and Brian won, I bet you Batista, there was a legal thing there. Batista was probably in his contract. I'm winning the Rumble. I want the title or I'm not coming back. And so I think they were painted legally into a corner that Batista had to win. This time around, they obviously... they were doing what they were doing. And maybe I'm being a little too conspiratorial about this, if that's even a word, but you know me.
It is.
Only here on Main Event do you make up great words.
Oh, it's a legit word.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good job.
Damn it, I wanted credit for that. I really think in the back they're like, look, these fans brutalized us last year. We gave them their guy, and then their fucking guy got hurt, and then we were screwed for the next 7 months. So you know what? We're doing what we want. If they boo... fuck them. Let them boo. Yeah. They're not going to – because no one's going to – when I saw that hashtag canceled, I'm like, oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that they said, screw it, let them boo. I think they tried their best to make people cheer for Roman Reigns. The way they went about it was ridiculous.
Yeah, they did everything
by
wrong.
By making sure every other babyface looked like a
chump. I don't
want to
say
like
they did everything wrong, but they did a lot of things wrong.
I don't know
I
what
don't
they
know
did
what they
right.
did right.
Even like a guy that nobody thought he was going to win, but why have Mizdow last 12 seconds? You know, the crowd was into Damian Mizdow. Let him hang in there for 5 minutes. Even right. that, they just crapped on it, you know?
Yeah, and Ziggler but was here, in there in this... for more than a couple minutes as well.
Right? Dolph's yeah. in for 219.
Yeah, I was going to say about 2 minutes, yep.
2 minutes. And Ambrose was in for a little over 13.
If Brian was out of there, and this is where I was talking about earlier, where it's like last year was Brian has to win or we won't accept anything. I think Ziggler... Yep. Continuing the thread from Survivor Series is the one guy who's got, like, they come down to Reigns, Big Show, Kane, and Ziggler, and Ziggler's out of it over in a corner somewhere, and Reigns gets fluke eliminated, and then Ziggler, like, somehow drop kicks Big Show out while he's laughing. I think the crowd goes nuts. I don't think they even remember Daniel Bryan.
Well, you know, I think that is, Ben. I think last year the crowd was, it's got to be Daniel Bryan, mm-hmm. and this year I think it was going to be Roman Reigns.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right, JD.
Great. But
they would have taken anybody. They would have taken Rusev. If Rusev dumped him out, we would have all been communists.
But what difference would it have made? What difference would it have made if Brian had gotten eliminated, like Ben was saying, in the final four? Would it have hurt Reigns more? I don't know if that's true.
He eliminates Daniel Bryan. He does not leave that building.
No, I don't mean that Reigns eliminates Daniel Bryan. Let me correct it. Someone else eliminates him, and Reigns eliminates that guy.
I don't think it matters.
Nope, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. When it comes to Daniel Bryan, it wouldn't have mattered.
And I think
may not have deflated the match, but yeah.
I think the harshest thing too is at least when this happened with Batista last year, it was like, well, he hasn't been around for a while. He's not going to be around for a while. He's a part-time guy. We're kind of pissing him anyways. The thing that frustrates me the most is 6 months ago, Roman Reigns was over. And this is a guy who could have had a future.
He got hurt.
Still will have a future.
But the other
he's not going away.
Exactly, Ben. And this goes back to the other point. What's the rush? Is he dying?
Yep.
Is he turning into a pumpkin? What the fuck's the rush?
I feel bad for him, though. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Because they want WrestleMania to be the moment. They don't want Extreme Rules or Payback to be the moment.
Well, that's a great point, Rish, and Justin's been talking about that a lot on our show. You talked about it a few times. Why does WrestleMania have to be it?
I think it would be brilliant if Brock wrestled Reigns and Brock beat him. And then in the rematch, Reigns beat him. But I don't think that's in the cards.
Open building at SummerSlam. An open building. How about you get off your fucking asses, come up with an awesome card, and stick it at MetLife?
Yeah.
Get off your... You could do what... Justin made a great point. You could do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No one's stopping you. So if you want to put WrestleMania outside, fucking put it outside.
You know?
What's stopping you? Why can't we have... Why can't Brock end the show with a win? Who gives a shit if people boo? Who cares? Triple H ended a show.
They won't boo if Brock wins.
I know, they'll probably get cheered. But
what's interesting is they've taken a huge risk with when they started the network. You know, they were kind of ahead of the game. But in terms to their on-screen product for the last few years, they refuse to take any risks. It is so, like, they're so terrified. I don't know if, like, having stockholders, it's not like the stockholders watch the program.
I am very much looking forward to and not for the obvious reasons, to Stone Cold's podcast next week with Triple H. Because he's not going to pull this. Triple H is not as suave as Vince is. You can easily see Triple H can get visibly annoyed.
Yeah.
Excuse me, like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. That's where Vince being detached is an advantage. Because he can kind of dodge a question by saying, well, I don't know. It's these millennials. You know, Triple H can't do that. Triple H has to take it head on. He takes the internet stuff personally. Everyone knows this.
Mm-hmm.
And will he take it personally if Steve asks him a tough question? I don't think so because they're friends. But it's going to be interesting to see how he answers
the questions. If Steve asks him, do you like CM Punk? And Triple H answers, I think he's a fantastic performer. Steve, I didn't ask you that. Do you like him?
It'll be like the scene in A Few Good Men with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good comparison, Jake. That's two in a row. You can go home now.
Is that in the Hoff bracket?
The Hoff
bracket.
you can't handle R-Truth.
Fucking Toy Story.
It is.
The only one.
What the fuck was Hoop? There it is. I was like, what?
Channeling 91 WCW center stage,
like PN News. Okay, couple quick questions, and then we'll call it a night, and then we'll marinate these a little bit for our next show. We have what, 59 days, right? Is that what the official total is now? What it was? It's 63 on Sunday, so it's 60 days to WrestleMania. I'll start with you, Ben. Can they fix Roman Reigns? Can he get over by March 29th in San Francisco?
No. Which sucks. Because a year ago he could have.
Is he broken permanently? Is he done?
No, he's not done permanently. He can come back from this. A heel turn, a freshening up. He'll be fine with time. I think the biggest problem from Roman Reigns right now is that he is a younger dude who, in comparison to Rollins earlier, I don't think he necessarily has the self-confidence that Rollins does. And I think this stuff is getting to him. You saw it after the Rumble. You saw it by his performance in the Rumble. You saw it in the post-show interview. Like, he is not equipped to handle the crowd hating him right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he is, and I don't think he's up to the task of turning things around by Mania. And that's not a slam on Reigns, because I think Reigns is going to be great, and I think he has been great in the past. I think he has been put in a position that's not fair to him, to his level of experience and his particular skill set. And I think he's screwed by no fault of his own.
Okay. Reesh? Is he rehabbable between now and March 29th?
It's funny you say that because we have our resident shrink, Steve Willey, on the on the podcast. And, you know, the thing about it is that we were talking about stages of grief. You know, you go through, you know, acceptance and denial, and you go through all the different emotions before you just kind of come to terms with it. What you're asking is, can we go through all those 12 stages and come to terms with Roman Reigns as the champion and accept him by the time we get to March 29th or whatever day it is?
There are 12 stages, Steve?
How many stages are there, 6 or 12?
5.
Just keep talking.
Oh, I have 12. So I go through the 5 stages twice and then do 2 more.
I have 1. It's called hanging up on all of you. No.
No, but the point I'm making is there is a point here. There is a point here. The thing is, the Royal Rumble is the deep cut. It's the crisis. You know, you took your big risk and it got shit on. Let's be honest. Raw, that post-show Raw that got snowed in the studio where they can meticulously edit together whatever they want to make it look cool. That's the beginning of the therapy. That's the beginning of the rehab.
Well, they blew that, in my opinion.
I do not agree with that.
No,
I think that the indoors Raw was a blessing in disguise.
No, the Raw itself was. I'm more talking about
the Raw itself. Okay, yeah.
I'm talking about Reigns' interview when he pretty much read, here, look, we used to give this to John Cena when he got booed. Read this. Okay, let me see. The fans paid for their tickets. They can do what they want. I'm like, oh, you just made it worse.
There were just 2 parts for Reigns, though. There was that scripted one that didn't go so well. Then there was the sit down with Brock. And maybe you can give a lot of credit to Paul Heyman for kind of carrying it as the moderator. But I thought that really worked. I thought it helped. And I think that's going to be the first stepping stone to trying to get Roman Reigns over with the fans so that he doesn't get completely booed out of the building at Levi's Stadium. I don't know if it's going to be – if the therapy is going to be complete. I don't know if people are going to cheer him. But I don't think it's a complete failure. Okay. I think that he's fixable.
Willie, is he fixable?
Between now and March 29th? I think long term he's fixable. I think that in the short term, I think it will get better for him. Because I still believe that the people are not against Roman Reigns.
Okay.
The people are against the presentation of Roman Reigns over the last couple months as this kind of goofball all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
If you can help him be himself, if they can help him be himself and not feed him horribly scripted goofy lines,
mm-hmm.
and just let him be and go out and kick ass, I think he'll be better. I was listening to the Jericho podcast this morning, and he had an interesting theory. I don't think it's going to happen because I think they're, again, too scared to take risks of doing a kind of a double turn and make Reigns the heel, maybe even pair him with Heyman.
Mm-hmm. I've seen Brock, people say that.
Yeah. Brock face, which is – but I don't see that happening, however. I don't know. Is this Brock's last match? Because that could also play a role in it as well.
Probably. I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is too.
We might have a dumpster fire of a main event at WrestleMania.
I think it could be.
I think the difference there is that Brock mailed it in when he wrestled Goldberg. I don't think he's going to mail it in the main event of WrestleMania. I don't think so.
I got a weird thought. And I know I made fun of it, and Will fucking shot me down. But if I'm right, he owes me an apology. What if they decide not to have this match even last?
That's impossible.
That would be so fucking stupid to have the WWE Championship match go second to last to Sting, Triple H, or Undertaker, Wyatt. That'd be dumb. That's just my opinion.
Happened in 1995.
I know
it did. And they survived that.
I know it did, but
I mean, that was a better match. I mean, Diesel and Shawn was fucking great, but
that's just my two cents.
They've done it before. They've done it before, Rish. I'm just saying. They've done it before.
Yeah, they won't do it to Brock, though.
I don't think they'll do it.
They're paying him too much money.
True.
They've been doing these legend matches kind of, you know, like two-thirds of the way in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they end up just, you know, like they've been doing the Undertaker matches for the most part at that point.
But if
point
you
too.
Look at the card outside of the Battle Royal, we've got a lot of matches that are brewing on that card, about eight or nine. So
if
you're not going to have a lot of time.
If Undertaker and Shawn didn't go on last, you know, there's nothing that would go on after the title match in this year's show.
Hmm. Okay.
By the way, my answer is he cannot be rehabbed before WrestleMania. No way.
But do you think it will be better than it is today?
That's the most shocking revelation ever. Jordan Duncan thinks they can't fix it in time.
Yeah, all I have is a long track record of how badly they do everything else. Succotash.
Yeah, succotash.
Here's why, though. Here's why I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
How do you rehab a babyface? You haven't kill heels. What heels do they have that anyone cares about? What are you going to do? Have him beat Kane? Beat mm-hmm. the Big Show?
That's a great point.
You know, who can he demolish that is going to get people to – are they going to blow Rusev, blow that up?
Ron, I think you already saw that even him beating Rusev, he'll get booed.
Yeah. So I don't really think there's a heel they can pair him with between now and WrestleMania that's going to – maybe Rollins, and I don't think they're willing to do that to Rollins.
I mean, I
– And they shouldn't.
I am not kidding you. When the hottest pop of the night, the hottest babyface pop of the night. I think
was
even
when Rusev got back in the ring.
Well, that and Brock winning.
Mm-hmm.
Brock's pop when he came down the ramp was could compare with Daniel Bryan's.
It showed.
He looked like a megastar. He looked just.
I mean, he
fantastic.
Yep.
I can easily see.
He looked in better shape than he has. In
he was in the tanning bed for a long time.
I mean, could you see?
He looked bronze.
Could you see Reigns turning heel before March 29th?
I think if they're going to do it, they have to do it before.
Yeah.
They can't do it at the show.
No, I wouldn't say do it at the show.
No.
And then have Brock just lose shitty. Or, fuck it, do a double switch. Brock loses to Reigns. Brock F5s him. And fucking Rollins cashes in.
Yeah, people have discussed that. Been brought up.
And Rollins becomes a babyface and Reigns becomes a heel and he becomes Triple H's
But Scott, I do think going back to what Steve says, you're looking at a company that is not taking chances.
It's too chicken shit for that. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
They have what they're going
to
do.
I'm looking forward to this to Stone Cold and Triple H next month because Stone Cold's not going to he was expecting Vince's corporate line answers because Vince has been doing that for all 70 years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H is not that polished yet.
In my opinion, I think after the Royal Rumble, WWE probably regrets booking this podcast.
Yeah.
I really do.
No one ever regrets putting the five of us. Oh, you mean you didn't book this, damn it? No. So, all right. Well, guys, great job. We slogged our way through that, and we will continue to talk about it. Of course, Fastlane is the next pay-per-view. Sunday, February 22nd, live from the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. So we'll get nice Jerry Lawler puppy jokes. And then we move to March 29th. And it's weird because Fastlane and Mania is like a normal length. Did you notice? It's kind of a normal length of time between pay-per-views. Usually WrestleMania is like, you know, 9 weeks or something.
Six or 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's like only five or four. So whatever they intend to pull off, good luck.
Because we're on the Fastlane, baby.
Fastlane.
Get Bill Bellamy on the line.
Did you know Bill Bellamy was in Fastlane?
And we have...
Hey, Scott, before we get out of here, I want to ask one question.
I got to do the close before I tell you to shut up.
Damn it. Well, no, I really want to ask...
Over the last...
I want to ask one more.
No, what's that?
If either of those Royal Rumbles were not in Pennsylvania, do you think it would have been hated just as much by the crowd?
Depends on the city.
Do you think it really would have mattered?
I got an answer for that. I think it would. You know why? Because I think the Rumble is becoming more like WrestleMania in that it is a traveling pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. People will go to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it's a big four. It's a big four. Mm-hmm. People travel to summer.
I was in Pittsburgh, and I'm from Detroit. It's not that close.
Yeah. I mean, Philly's close for me. I mean, for me, it'll depend. I mean, I don't know if we're – I mean, I could see next year's Rumble being far away. Well, relatively speaking for me and Ben anyway. I could see the Rumble being in – well, it won't be in Texas. I could see it being in, you know, Arizona again or Florida or something.
Yeah. But also the other thing is, like, all those weeks after the Rumble leading up to WrestleMania last year, it's not like they were in Pennsylvania every week and they were still getting the same reactions.
I mean,
true.
They're all over the place this year. Mania's in San Francisco. Extreme Rules is in Rosemont. Probably wish I could rebook that. Payback is in Baltimore, which is leading the crowd. In the Bank is in
Columbus,
which that crowd nobody gets.
I was thinking about driving out to that one.
Battleground is in St. Louis. SummerSlam is in, Lord knows,
New York, New Jersey.
Ellis Island.
Ben's backyard.
It's on top of the Statue of Liberty.
Because he won't travel anywhere. We'll have to have it in Ben's yard.
Brock's going to F5 the Statue of Liberty.
Brooklyn. What are you,
Brooklyn's too far.
I'll pick you up, for Christ's sakes. All right.
Take two trains.
All right. Night of Champions is in Houston. Hell in a Cell is in L.A. They must have a deal with that building to have something.
Of course.
You know,
they saved them from that Nuggets fiasco with Stan Kroenke.
True.
They love the Staples Center.
So that's where Money in the Bank is this year. Survivor Series is in Atlanta. We know who's going there that night. I was gonna say something else.
But come on, Jordan.
All right.
No, I can't. Do
hey,
it.
Andrew, that impression. It's not that bad.
And it's not New Day. All right, and then TLC.
Good night, everybody.
And then
good night, lock your doors.
And then TLC. And TLC is in Boston, which I may go to. Benjamin, you're definitely going. All right, guys.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back.
My ticket's booked.
Good night, everybody. All right. For Ben Morris. We got to end the show. For Ben Morris, Andrew Reich, Jordan Duncan, and my counselor, who I got to talk to off air before I get killed, Steve Willey. I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been in a very long main event. It's like the Iron Man match without the super kick to the timekeeper. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, we hope.
Have we been recording this whole time?
So my bracket for movies of the place to be generation, this is my final showdown. Mordecai versus Boogeyman.
Shut up, Roman Reigns.